The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
This is PFW in Progress.
It's a Mega Bowl. What's not to understand? This is history in the making. You're going to want to tell your grandkids and their grandkids and their grandkids. And when they look back in the annals of history, they're going to be talking about three things: discovery of fire, invention of the submarine, and Mega Bowl.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I mean, you can just think of me as Bambi's mother. I make sure nothing bad happened to you.
Bambi's mother got shot, right?
Yeah, first scene.
I remember that. The credits were still rolling and everything.
Paul Perillo.
The crowd is really excited tonight.
They know what's at stake, Dick.
Yep.
Now I'm talking about free corn dogs.
Oh, that's right. It's free corn dog night.
And Andy. And Andy?
There they come, the Flint Tropics Ball Girls cheerleading squad, keeping the crowd energized through the timeout.
They've just got such big... what? Hearts.
Yes.
Big, bouncy, jiggly hearts.
Well, hearts don't really bounce, so now I think you're talking about something else.
Andy Hart.
But I like breasts.
Eric Scalavino.
The great question. Tomorrow... after the game, I will wrestle a bear.
You're not going to want to miss this, folks. And if you're a small child, you creep into your mama's bedroom at night and you lift about $40 out of your mom's purse.
No. For now, anyway.
Dewey's insane. He can rip my head off.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Dewey? Ah! Everybody panic! Oh, my God, there's a bear loose in the Coliseum!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here.
Yes. My mic's not on. Oh, what? Is it on now? What are you doing back there?
We're down in the
box. Make me criticize you in the first 30 seconds. You got to turn the mics on for the people that are on the show.
We're down in the bowels of Gillette Stadium, and it is Tuesday. The new calendar year for the NFL starts at 4 o'clock today.
Woo-hoo!
And the hot stove is brimming.
Did you burn your hand?
What's that?
Did you burn your hand?
Yeah, it is. It's very hot. There's a lot of rumors out there.
Drop it like
we're
going
to try to get to all of them, and maybe who knows, something will happen.
maybe some of them will be true. Well, if the reports are true, Julian Edelman has like 10 minutes to decide whether he wants to stay or go.
Andy's here. Eric's here. Paul's here. I'm here. Chris is in the glass.
Unfortunately,
Kevin is off.
He's in the glass.
Where's Kevin?
Puerto Rico, isn't he?
Puerto Rico,
yeah, or Florida?
I think so.
One,
yeah,
somewhere
south.
Sure, which comes which. He's going to both Puerto Rico and Florida.
So hopefully, so far everything's going okay.
He didn't turn my mic on. How can you say everything's going okay?
That's the right thing to do.
And we may not even be on the internet.
For that.
For all I know, we're not on the internet right now.
I applaud him.
That means it's going okay.
Yeah.
All right, get into it. Go. We don't have time for your long-winded open.
So let's take them one by one.
It wouldn't be okay if I wasn't.
No.
There's reports out there that the Patriots are close to signing Tlaib.
Very close.
We don't know what that means. There's reports out there that Julian Edelman has been made an offer that he has to sign before 4 o'clock today.
They need an answer on a three-year deal.
The table.
Correct. They're bullying. Bully technique.
There's reports out there, Adam Schefter specifically, saying that Tampa Bay could, in fact, be releasing Revis if they don't trade him. And the two teams that you should keep an eye on are the Eagles and the Patriots.
That sheet upstairs.
And now there's late talk that the Bucks are actually getting some interest in trading for Revis from high cap dollar teams, including the Browns. So he may not be released, he may be traded.
Yeah.
Because initial reports were their asking price was 2 ones.
Yes.
Which I can't believe anybody would,
Right.
Not laugh at.
But here's the thing about
Jason Lock and Four.
Here's the
once
thing
again,
about release
on the pulse.
Here's the thing about trading for a guy that you're pretty sure is going to be released. If you have a lot of cap room, Can't you just say, look, to the agent, we're going to wait till they release you because we don't want to give up draft picks, but we're going to blow you away in free agency. So, don't take
us. Well, he can't be any more blown away than $16 million a year.
Don't take us not be willing to trade, meaning that we're not interested in your player. We are.
Yeah.
We're going to give him a great offer. We just don't want to give the draft pick. So I don't understand these teams that say we're going to cut him if we don't trade him. I don't know why they would say that.
It could go two ways, though. You can roll the dice and say that I'm not going to trade for him, but the only way you can guarantee you get the player is trading for him.
That's true.
There are two different ways to look at it.
I know, but if you're a high-cap team...
And what you're doing is called
tampering,
by the way.
Because if I don't get that guy, I'll get another guy, because I've got a lot of money to spend.
But that's called tampering.
But you're operating under the premise that all players are the same. I'll just get somebody.
No, I know.
Michael Huff got drafted. I'll just take... Dante Whitner on the next pick, like the Buffalo Bills.
But like you said earlier, they were looking for two first-round picks.
Maybe. These are all reports.
I know, but one GM said that was the talk around the
league. And if you think as the team that that's too much, then you back away and you hope that he gets released and you go in again.
Right.
But if you don't think that's too much, you guarantee that you get the player.
Yeah, but I don't – what I'm saying –
And you can't do that even with money.
I don't know why the Bucs say we're going to cut him if we don't trade him. That's all I'm saying. Just don't say that.
I'm not sure they necessarily said that.
Oh, I thought there was reports out of Tampa Bay. That's what they said.
No, I think there were reports that was going to happen. I don't know that they said, yeah, if we can't trade him, we're just going to cut him. Because that's idiotic.
The report, but
right.
The report,
that's what I'm saying.
I would assume the report came from a source internally who was telling this person, unless they're just
maybe
wildly speculating.
I think it
that
probably comes from
happen.
The agent. All this stuff generally comes from agents. And it's in the agent's best interest to get that out there. Because now he has two ways of
and it's also
getting his client
kind of obvious.
You know,
they have a guy making $16 million a year they're trying to get rid of.
Because then it increases the urgency to not let him hit free agency and make that trade before he does.
Or either way, it works out for him because he gets released and gets to sign a new deal, of which he gets another part.
Well, that's going
to
happen. Yeah, whether or not the agent leaks it, that will happen.
No, what I'm saying is the agent gets it out there. It doesn't matter to him if he gets released or if he gets traded.
Right, no.
It's good for him.
If I'm him, I want to be traded. Because other than the fact that I don't get to pick where I go, money-wise, I'm going to get the most money out of $16 million.
But now there was another report today, and it might have been I think it was Rappaport, that said that his contract's unique. We know that, Revis's contract.
Yes.
And one of the contingencies in the contract is that the team that he goes to in a trade has unilateral control over restructuring the deal. Now, I'm not sure what that means, but it sounds like Revis has no hand on a new team. That they, you know, other than not giving him less money, maybe that's in there.
That's
they can restructure it any way they want.
Yeah, that's what's in the contract now. Is that what you're talking? Did I miss that? Is that what you said?
No.
Yeah, because Tampa has that ability now. They can restructure it right
unilaterally.
Now. Yes.
Yeah.
That's part of the deal. I don't understand exactly what
the restructure
the
is. Just giving bonus money,
right?
It's spreading it out in a different way. Yeah,
and that's the 14th.
Well, spreading it out for your purposes. For him, it's just giving him bonus money. It's do you want to give me 16 million? Well, he has one and a half, and then
and 13.
Three. So, do you want to give me that 13 in 17 checks, or do you want to give it to me tomorrow,
right.
or whatever
right.
the date is?
Yeah.
That's the way I read
that's
it.
That's
anyway.
The only unilateralness to it. It's basically telling the team, you pick when to give me $13 million, but you give me $13 million. That's why you would agree to that. I didn't know that's what you were talking about earlier. Okay. Yeah, that's what it says. That's all it is. Why are you just looking at me?
Well, I actually just stopped because I'm looking at the video of Rich Peverly last night for the Dallas Stars who had a cardiac incident on the bench.
But I thought he died when they canceled the game. I was like, if he's fine, because, you know, then reports trickled out he's conscious, he's at the hospital, he's fine. And I was like, well, then why'd you cancel the game?
Well, I don't think they knew right away that he was fine.
I don't either. They thought he might die.
They had to do, well, they, yeah.
So that's probably why they did that.
They did CPR on him.
I know.
Had a defibrillator.
No, but I think, yeah.
So,
because
yeah,
I thought it was weird that
they
canceled the game and he was technically fine.
One other Patriot item that I heard when I was driving in today, I guess Wesley Woodyard, linebacker from Denver, is supposedly his first visit is going to be here.
Okay.
So. Got somebody in our geek squad very excited.
Yeah, and who was that?
I can't tell you.
I assume Kenny.
Yeah. Okay, we're just throwing names out there. Well, it's not Alyssa.
That's what you do a lot of times.
And he's very excited. Did you know he gave me a little known fact? He's a speed-based backup linebacker, probably an outside guy, can play inside.
Definitely fast.
But a special teamer, was a special teams captain for the Broncos as an undrafted rookie, and has been a captain ever since.
That's so impressive. He's in, Dane Fletcher's out, right?
Or they're both in.
Oh, they're both in.
But that's a Belichick player. The guy was an undrafted rookie who's a special teams captain from get-go and all the way through. He smells like a Belichick player.
But you're also you left out the part. If you want, can we get snarky? Can I be snarky for 30 seconds?
Sure. Okay.
He suddenly asks now?
Don't leave out the part that he was a starter and is no longer a starter.
Well,
that,
yeah.
You know, so therefore he's a Belichick guy.
But what about...
Because he lost his job last year.
We were just coming down here and we saw that Owen Daniels had been released.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, I would assume, cut for cap reasons, but...
Yeah, like $4.5 million.
He did have some... What, knee problems in the past?
He's had some problems. Yeah, I forget.
You know,
I'm not going to lie. I'm overwhelmed right now. I'm just going to throw that out there to start this show.
I haven't even started yet.
I'm overwhelmed with all these reports and free agent, this guy and that guy. And Fred is catching flies staring at a TV screen.
No, there's some guy in a soccer shirt just getting pummeled. I guess that was UMass over the weekend.
Oh.
Yeah. But, you know, it is mind-boggling to think about what's going on in the front offices of teams right now, because there are so many options for teams at every position, you know, to have to explore and uncover and figure out what teams want for what guys and what
this, and money. There is just money oozing out ears everywhere.
Right.
That Everson Griffin contract where he got 40-something million dollars, 20-something guaranteed for a guy who's essentially a backup and has a career high of 8 sacks stunned me. And the more I see, there is going to be a lot of money thrown around this spring.
You know, because we always talk about the scouting that has to be done for draft guys, you know, for guys coming out of college. But the same scouting has to be done almost for every other guy in the NFL. So in times like these, when an Owen Daniels becomes available, a team can say, you know what, we're not interested. We've done the scouting on him. We don't like him.
Well, that's more of an ongoing process.
They have to have that ready because you can't start that now.
That's why you have pro personnel department at all times.
It really is the different combinations that can be done right now between trading and releasing it's mind-boggling.
Well, I don't know how much more we can do after we sign Talib and trade for Revis or sign Revis. I mean, like that's going to be the offseason.
No, but once you do that, then there's ways to free up to go after other guys. Is there a way to upgrade by subtracting? You know,
I was being sarcastic. There's no way in hell we're going to end up with both Talib and Revis. I don't buy it.
No, of
but
course not.
You could end up with Edelman and Talib, and would that be good for you?
No.
No.
I still need a pass rusher.
I need a veteran pass rusher.
I was surprised. I'm surprised that you just said no.
No,
he's expecting big things. Aggressive, remember? Aggressive.
I don't mind re-signing Edelman, but if we do, I hope they don't say, okay, wide receivers.
No, I said and Talib.
I'm talking about the wide receiver position.
You can kind of sell me that wide receiver's done. You bring back Edelman, Amendola, and if you're madly in love with your other guys as you say you are, okay, we're expecting Dobson, even though he had surgery,
to have
a year two jump. He had surgery. 2 to 3 months recovery. He'll be ready for camp. We'll miss some of the offseason, blah, blah, blah. That'll be the excuse later why he didn't have a year two jump.
Right. Normally, that's not anything to worry about. I think in a case like this, that is something to worry about. I think that stunts a guy who potentially needed this offseason to
addition to Edelman, I'd like to bring one other guy in via free agency.
Sanders. A lot of people connected to Sanders.
Really?
Your boy, Emmanuel Sanders. Everywhere
I
see.
I haven't heard a word about him.
Oh, I've seen like 10 people. And keeping them in the mix for Sanders. Keep that Browns, Jets, I think. There was like everybody.
Yeah. So there's
some players also became available. Antonio Cromartie is one that comes to mind who was released. He's probably not coming here.
Santonio Holmes got released.
No interest in him. Could there be anyone as a Super Bowl MVP that I could possibly have less interest in?
Why is that?
Because he's a dink and he stinks and he's always hurt.
We like Deion.
Okay.
I do too, but I would have less interest now in him than I
would. I'd have more interest in Deion. I have no interest in Santonio Holmes. Less than zero. He could pay me to take him, and I wouldn't allow him on my team.
What about defensive line? I know a lot of people have written, Jared Allen would be a good fit here.
He's going to the Broncos.
You think so?
Seems that way.
Yeah.
What's that? One of them fade
up. Andy just bought every initial report. Andy's like, I'm in.
No, because they almost traded for him in October, and now he's going there. He's going to be a Bronco. Just think about it. He's one of those whack job, like he can go hunting in the Rockies and shoot like an elk while drunk on Coors and everything. It's the perfect fit for him.
There's a lot of teams with a lot of money available.
You can only get Coors in Colorado.
Right.
There's a lot of teams with a lot of money available.
Now, hypothetically
speaking,
according
to the reports,
could Peyton Manning give Jared Allen, Peyton Manning owns a Bud Light or whatever he said, the distillery or whatever, could he give him like, you know, a lifetime supply of beer?
Sure, on his own.
Because he's not the team and he's not...
Right. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he's going to the Broncos.
Because of the beer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Jared Allen likes a drink.
Brady could give him Uggs.
Does he still do that?
Oh, I think so.
Or vitamin water.
You think Jared Allen would rather have Uggs, vitamin water, or beer?
The vitamin water might be appealing.
No, it wouldn't.
What if you have kids?
It's gross. Anyway.
I don't know whether it's gross or not, but he's a beer-drinking, hunting redneck who wears 69.
What does that have?
I'm not exactly sure what any
of
those things have to do with it.
He popularized 69.
Did he?
Oh, yeah.
He's the guy.
He popularized it.
No, not the position.
Oh.
The number.
No one else wore it before him?
He's like the greatest player.
No one knew about 69 until he talked about it.
No, but he's taken 69 mainstream as a number. No, name somebody else who's great who wears 69.
I don't know.
Their
one
linemen.
Of those whack job closers wear 69.
They're linemen. I don't know what number they wear.
I bet you right. one of those whack
if
job
If you would ask me what
69.
Number Jared Allen was,
Space
literally
Lee, what did he
5
wear?
Seconds ago, I would not have been able to tell you.
What so number 69 Space is for wear? People who can do multiple positions, right?
Versatility.
Yeah.
Versatility.
Right. Can we just talk football? Why are you trying to dumb it
down? You're the one that's talking about Jared Allen's going to Denver because he
He's
likes
He's going
beer.
To Denver.
You know, if you wanted to say because he fits what they like to do on the edge,
now
Sean Phillips, you know.
Troy Brown to give him a lifetime supply of Narragansett.
Now, I heard the Steelers were going to release Woodley.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if that I think it happened already, but
oh, yeah?
I'm not positive on that.
There's a lot of guys getting released. Mm-hmm. Is this more than usual or no?
Which is weird because there's more money.
Right.
There's more money available and more money. More. I would agree with you. It seems like there's more high-profile types getting released, which tells me it's not cap-related.
Yeah.
I'm moving on.
Right.
They just Although, you know who hasn't been released
value
yet?
Release.
Julius Peppers. Still not
Julius
yet released.
Peppers. Yeah, I saw yesterday, you know, entertaining trade talks. Why don't you wait till after the trade? The whatchamacallit, the new league year starts. I mean, it's like we've been talking about this for
right.
weeks.
Well, I also, somebody tweeted in joking that if the Bucks are really asking for 2 ones for Revis, we'll throw in Vincent Jackson, and it's the original trade we proposed. So, 2 ones for Jackson and Revis.
So, Fred, you know, did you get permission from Andy? Can we talk about Revis?
Sure.
Is it out there or
not? Yeah,
enough
now we can talk about
okay.
it.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to check. He's got that look on his face.
It's actually out there now.
He's got that serial killer look on his face.
So,
with
not
that
the,
beard.
Certain people were ahead of the curve then. Give them credit.
Yes, Andy
Who?
And I.
Right.
Andy and I were way ahead of the curve when we threw it
yeah.
up against the wall.
We started the damn rumor.
So, you know, give them credit.
Who? Who's them?
Anyone that's
Jason
been talking Lockenfora? About Revis being available.
Not the guy who throws everything against the wall. Yeah, eventually something's going to stick.
Of course, Jason Lockenfora also said he could be had for a third round pick.
Paul died this morning. I'm just going to throw it out there. It may or may not be true. That's what Florio does.
Okay.
He wasn't in his office, so I could have
so
factually made
last
the leap
week,
that he died.
Polio in cover corners. This is what we're going to be talking about now.
No, you were in your office this morning, so I'm just going to say you died.
Right.
It might be right, and
that's
if so, I'm ahead of the curve.
It's the same.
You're it right. is for Florio.
It is the same thing.
That's how he does journalism.
Polio, cover corners, I died.
Well, just throw it
all
out
the
there.
Same.
You know that airplane that's missing
Very
in
analogous.
My backyard?
I
remote control, we landed
think,
it in the field.
I think he's allowed to speculate the same way Ben Volen's allowed to speculate about Jared Allen.
Just make sure it's speculation.
Let me throw another high-profile name at you.
We're all over the place.
Who has yet to be released, by the way, even though it's been talked about for
Tom
two
Brady?
Or 3 days now. Darren Sproles.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
I have no interest.
I
Anybody
don't have any
else?
Interest either. I think he's a fading...
I think he's a very good player.
Skills.
See, I don't anymore.
I think he's a very... Oh, he had a great
I think
year
he's living
year.
Off his reputation.
Well, we had one emailer...
He caught a lot of passes last year. He didn't have a great year.
I don't want another one of those guys. I already have them.
Well, I think you might need a backup.
Yeah. Well, that's fine, but I don't want to invest any resources to get a backup third down back.
Right.
Or if you know, I have Vereen and I want to make Sproles my primary third down guy and I have Vereen be the backup. I don't want to do that. To me, that's...
No, I still want Vereen. But you probably, with Vereen's issues, you probably need a better backup than just assuming Bolden can do the job a couple times a year.
Well, that's what somebody... I can't find the email here, but their proposal was you cut Ridley, you re-sign Blunt, you make Vereen your number one back, and you sign Sproles to be.
Well, Vereen can't be your number one back.
That's I'm just saying what his proposal was.
Certainly, mm-hmm. now he can't. I you know you could have sold me that in the old days when we threw it all the time. He could
sure.
be your
yeah.
your Marshall Faulk number one back.
But if you want to get 250-300 carries, I don't think that's something Vereen's. I mean, he got 14 and broke. Week one. Right. He's an injury prone guy.
It's true.
It's an injury prone guy. I love Vereen. I love his versatility. I love all the things he could do. I'm not in love with him just as a pure running back. If he was just asked to be a running back, then I'm not as much in love with
right.
him. I love the fact that I can split him out wide. I love the fact that I can hand it to him in spread formations and he'll maximize the yard. That's kind of stuff. I don't love him just lining up on third and short and saying,
right.
You know, here comes Ridley, here comes Blunt, here comes Vereen.
So the value of
Vereen will be a distant third on those three guys.
The value of Sproles is kind of the same as Vereen, is what you're saying. You're
yeah, Sproles to me is a lot better than Vereen, but I don't
think
it's...
You can't do with both.
Yeah, I don't think you want both of them.
Right. Okay. What else?
Speaking of him, Rappaport says they are going to cut him today, still holding out hope on a trade, hearing more than 10 teams were interested in him.
In the trade?
No, if he's free.
Oh.
Sproles you're talking about.
So that's a third of the league.
Yeah.
Damn near.
Very interesting.
Cannabis industry.
All right. Well, again, the Patriots have an offer. The reports are they're close to signing Tlaib.
Yeah. What did the report on Tlaib say? Because I had heard that they offered him more than Washington offered him.
I didn't hear anything.
The only
else.
Report I saw was a tweet from NBC Washington, which was a woman, which worried me because now we're going down the road of that John Berkeley. Abraham lady.
Why, all women are the same?
No, but that worried me. When there's an outlier and it's a woman I've never heard of, it worries me.
Just don't say stupid things.
I mean it. When there's an outlier and it's a woman I've never heard of, it worries me.
Yeah. Okay. How about if it's a man?
And that's happened once.
And
so now all
and a man I've never heard of would be the same. Yeah. But the fact that there are so few women in the business, okay. If it's a woman I've never heard of, had Josina Anderson or whatever her name is tweeted this, I'd feel much better about the veracity of the report.
Okay. All right. So
it's funny. I would.
I try to help you out, but you don't want to help. Take the help. Go ahead. Keep going.
I don't know where I was.
So it's
it literally said
the report
source Tlaib very close to like it was just a tweet. I didn't actually find any report.
Okay, right. So because most of the stuff
character report.
I was yeah.
Not really even
oh. As I drove in this morning.
probably like one.
All of the updates were saying that there's a report out of Washington that the Patriots their offer exceeded the Redskins' offer. I didn't see anything about how close they were or anything like that. So that would be the report that they're talking about how close they are.
Donna something, NBC Washington.
Okay. So that, yeah. All
see, that carries weight with me right there, NBC News Washington. I mean, right. that's
I didn't
that's,
even hear that.
That's a level of importance.
It's not the White House correspondent reporting
no.
it, though.
You sure it's NBC News Washington?
I didn't say that.
What if it's like NBC Sportsnet?
I didn't say I was sure.
One
of that.
Those things.
All I heard was a big that the Patriots were close. Yeah. That's all I've heard. So, you know, things are going to start breaking.
Evidently, they have Julian Edelman hostage somewhere with a gun to his head saying, sign it! Sign
it's
it!
Interesting. What? Okay. If the report is true that
look at this guy dropping in sound bites.
If the report is true that the Patriots have made an offer to Edelman, it's on the table, but he has up until 4 o'clock to sign it, in which case it's off. What's the strategy behind that for the Patriots? Why not keep it available and
well, because they want to go sign the second option to a contract twice what he should be paid.
Ah, so who is that second option?
I don't know.
Emmanuel Sanders.
You think so?
Could be.
Could be.
They liked him last year. Why not like him again?
So basically, they're saying we've got a guy that as soon as free agency opens, we're ready to sign.
I mean, it could just be a bluff, Fred. I mean, it could be just trying.
And I think it's smart. Actually, I said to Paul, I think he is bullyable. Because of who he is, you know, the way he developed here, his relationship with Brady. I joked, you know, TB12 has the logo, then it's JE11. They share an agent. I think he's bullyable. And I think it's smart business to take, if you have, as you said earlier, hand, use your hand. I think it's smart.
Okay.
It's like the Seinfeld episode. You have hand.
Right. Right. Oh, and that's what a lot of all this stuff, all these reports are coming out, is just gaining some leverage.
But I think he would be wrong to sign it. You've gotten this far, but B, it looks like there's money out there. You're coming off your best season. Somebody's going to pay you to join their offense. Don't worry that it's going to be like last year or it's going to be like Wes Welker and there's only one or two
teams.
Well,
that's the thing. That's the thing. Like, the first thing I would think of as a player, if a team said that to me, is, oh, they know that I can get more elsewhere. They're trying to keep me from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That'd be the first thing that I would think of as a player. But then when you sit
back.
That's
what Wes thought, for example, probably.
Yeah, then you sit back and you know, you would think, though, that your agent during this quiet tampering time has figured out what the market is.
You would think.
I certainly wouldn't sign a deal with my original team this close to free agency. But that's just me. Different guys probably have different priorities, different things.
Now, we also don't know the deal. If it's a 3-year deal for $18 million, I'm signing it. Because I think that's probably about as much as I could have hoped for, and I want to be here. So it's not. But if it's a 3-year deal for $9 million,
yeah, to each his own.
Poosh!
See what I think. That,
to each his
what
own.
I think
if
is
that's
going
what
on,
he wants, then yeah. then I
what
would
I
sign
think
it.
What's going on is I think the Patriots feel, and right or wrong, that they made him a pretty good deal, and they refused to allow him to use that deal to, you know, negotiate. So, look, we think we've given you a fair deal, but we don't want you out there saying, look, here's what the Patriots give me. Give me a million more. They don't want that.
Yeah,
they don't
isn't
want
that already happening?
They don't want their deal being used as a bargaining chip.
But isn't that already happening?
Well,
you're just shortening the period, but
yeah.
If you're the agent, Yee, and you have five teams that have shown a little interest, aren't you right now saying the Patriots are trying to give him an ultimatum and they got this
right
on the table?
But at least now, if you have until 4 o'clock, you're making other teams work fast, and you know, instead of having time to mull it over against other options that they have, you're making the other teams work fast, where they more likely will say, no, we're not going to do that. You know, so you're giving them a deadline. It's kind of smart if you think that the deal you gave them was pretty fair.
Yeah, listen, I don't have any problem with the Patriots doing with what they do. They've done this in the past. Andy brought up Welker. I think it was a very similar situation last year.
Yeah.
I would not take the cheese if I were the player.
Now, we have
Andy brought up a thing and saying if it was the deal, to each his own.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take it. There's almost nothing that you could do this close to free agency that I would take. You'd have to blow me completely out of the water.
If you've gotten this close, like
if I got this close, I'm going to see if anybody else wants to give me more.
We were talking about this on the
way
down here.
And if they don't, then they don't. And then I'll call the Patriots bluff. You don't want to re-sign me? Okay.
If you really wanted
to
sign,
I'll go somewhere else then. You didn't really want me then.
If you really
That's
wanted
fine.
To stay, you could have signed much earlier during that window when it first started. If you've gotten to this point, like Paul said, just give it a few more hours. Give it a day, two. Just see. I mean, maybe he entertained some negotiation offers over the weekend when the legal tampering window opened. But to his point, if you've gotten this far, just wait a little bit longer.
Yeah, unless,
if you were really that excited, you could have signed
it
earlier.
Unless your agent could tell you, Julian, this is a good deal. Let's just do it. You know, but
like I said, to each his own. Yeah. If that happened, you know, and the player re-signed it, I'm not going to sit here and rip the player.
But this
if
is
the
where
player decides. This is what I want to be really, like the situation Andy unfolded. This is where I want to go. This is where I want to re-sign. That's I think it's a fair deal. Then take it. To each his own.
This is where having a good agent really counts. You know, and where they earn their money is that type of advice.
See, I wouldn't want any advice from anybody,
really?
You know, 5 hours from free agency. I don't need to have anybody give me the expert advice that I have a chance to have 31 other teams bidding on my services in five hours.
But that's your agent
to figure out.
I don't need an agent to figure out that
4 o'clock is the start of the new league year, and I can go and talk to 31 other teams.
Okay.
The agent can tell me what he thinks I might get out there, but he doesn't know. I know at 4 o'clock, 31 other teams have the ability to sign me. Right now, I only have the ability to have one team sign me. They're bidding against just
themselves. So
you're like
Brewski. You're like Brewski.
No, I'm the opposite. I'm the opposite of Brewski.
No,
Brewski decided,
but he made his own decision.
I'm not leaving here.
No, what I'm saying is you don't feel you would need an agent as a player.
No, I would need an agent, but not to tell me that the start of the league year is at 4 o'clock.
But you don't take his advice.
On the deal, whether or not he thinks it's a good deal, I would take his advice on that.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
But I wouldn't sign based on that.
Oh.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, kind of. You're stubborn.
Fred, what I'm trying to tell you is if...
Now he's going to show you he's stubborn.
I think Eric brought up a good point.
I don't want to get into
this. If 4 or 5 days ago, Julian Edelman had this offer and he said, well, you know what? This is really where I want to be. My agent's telling me it's a fair deal. Then you could maybe persuade me. At this point, to me, it's a complete ploy. They're putting a gun to my head to try to get me to sign because they don't want me to go out there and talk to the 31 other teams.
Well, you're assuming that they just made the offer.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what the report said.
They said they have an offer on the table.
Right.
But it didn't say when the offer was originally made. I don't think, right?
I assumed it meant it was...
Just made?
Maybe you're right. Recently maybe I need an agent to tell me that the start of the league year is 4 o'clock.
Well, you have an agent, don't you?
Well, that's true. You do.
He doesn't know when the league year starts. I guess I needed to call him.
No mention of Will Fork. And I know that's not like an urgent thing. You have to make a decision. You know, that has really nothing to do with the beginning of the league year. But all things are pretty quiet on that front, right?
I haven't really heard anything. No.
That doesn't surprise me.
I mean,
you're focused on your other business right now.
There's no way that they would cut Vince Wilfork, right?
Oh, I think there is, really.
Right
sure.
now?
No.
Whatever's best for the football team.
Oh, you mean like in the summer?
Yeah. Like, if push comes to shove, and he's not taking a penny less, no pay cut, anything, and I happen to see, wow, he seems like he's coming on a little slow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not really wowing me with his recovery. I would not rule out him being cut.
So, in this case, with Vince Wilfork, if you were advising the Patriots, would you tell them to take their time in this thing? And there's no urgency here. Take your time.
No. As much as they can. It kind of ties into free agency.
But my first thing would be to try to get the player to restructure.
Right.
To open up the
I'd rather have that money.
Yeah.
But nothing as of right now is really tying your hands.
But there's no reason to tell Vince Wilfork, hey, here's our deal, take it or leave it.
No.
You know?
I don't think you need to take that approach this early in the process.
Not with him.
Okay.
Not in that situation, no.
Right. Okay.
Why, would you?
No. You're
looking to run him out of town?
No, I'm just going over the scenarios, just the different things that are going on in the front office of the Patriots.
No, because you have... There was like an erroneous report. I don't know what it was from Jeff Darlington that had a weird cap number. Had us at like 8 million. Had every team 5 to 10 million below what they actually are. I don't know what it was. I saw Pat's cap, Miguel, thought maybe it was the true cap and not the rule of 51, that it included everything. But he wasn't sure. I think he was just throwing that out there. But the Patriots, I believe Bert Breer said the official number right now is like 14.39.
Something like that, right.
So you have room to work. You have room to do business. Now, you couldn't trade for Darrell Revis today. You don't have $16 million of free space.
Right.
So maybe that would be... But you also remember Adrian Wilson, Sopawaga. You have guys that I don't really know why they haven't been cut yet, but I think they're going to get cut, and if you needed to open up more money, you could. So until your hands are tied with Wilfork, I would not force that envelope. You might not like the answer you get.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. Watching fights on TV.
It's a Lawrence bar.
Lawrence?
Yeah.
Lawrence
did that guy have a gun? Were they showing?
I don't know if it was a gun or a bottle. I couldn't tell.
All right, let's
you don't bring a bottle to a gunfight.
Let's get to some emails, shall we?
I interviewed for the baseball coach job at Lawrence, and I could tell that the AD was like, you're not ready for this.
First up, PJ in Philly has some problems with me. He says, long time, no email. Had to write in after catching up on the podcast. I love Fred, and he did the best he could with his solo show, but please don't leave him alone again. On that show, a caller mistakenly referred to Emmanuel Sanders as Emmanuel Lewis, which went uncorrected by Fred. I know we like short receivers, but Emmanuel Lewis would just be ridiculous. Fred then repeatedly kept talking about the possibility of signing Hicks from New York. I'm guessing he meant Hakeem Nicks, but he said it like three times in a row. Hicks from New York. Get injured a lot. I would love Hicks from New York. Hicks from New York is a bigger receiver. It drove me insane.
Is that Eli Manning?
The straw that broke the camel's...
He was just in a hurry, so he condensed it.
The straw that broke the camel's back was when he was talking about how Pittsburgh drafted bigger linebackers and it worked for them. His example, LeVon Kirkwood. Is that the next Leon Sandcastle? Come on, Fred, it's LeVon Kirkland. Guys, please don't leave him alone again. So that was a problem with me, okay?
You were like John Travolta at the Oscars.
It happens.
And Pat from New Hampshire says, on last week's show, you guys talked about the fact that Eric used to be a comedian. So on this week, will you guys be talking about how Andy used to be in human resources, or that Paul was once a nutritionist? How about the tale of Fred in poverty? Maybe Tlaib was an English professor, or that Bilo was once a mime.
That's good, right there.
Eric the comedian. I'm not buying it.
Bilo a mime. That's a good one. You better admit, Eric, it's funny. As a former comedian, that's funny.
It went a little too long.
No, I think actually the Bilo mime one is one of the better.
You wrapped it up pretty well.
That was worth wait.
Yeah.
The nutrition and the mime got me.
Oh, you and human resources. right past that one.
Chris writes in.
He has people skills.
Or Christopher, he likes to be called with a K.
Fred talks poverty.
He says, hello, Patriots experts. And he has experts in a quote. Obviously, we lost Brandon Spikes, and although he's never been spectacular, he hasn't been absolutely horrible either lately. Woodley is available to pick up, it seems, at the right price, i.e. one-year deal to kick the tires. I know there's a lot of questions about his work ethic since he got paid, but do we consider him an upgrade above Brandon Spikes? The other linebacker that may be available but older is Jonathan Vilma. He fits the profile well, discount because of his issues with Bountygate, very intelligent, and would really be able to help scheme with Mayo. And the last linebacker I'm thinking of is Daryl Smith from Baltimore, solid and was tutored under the great Ray Lewis. So he's wondering how do we fill the gap of Spikes.
Oh, no.
Daryl Smith was on Jacksonville. When Ray Lewis was playing.
Maybe they overlap for – I don't think so.
No, I think he only had 1 year in Baltimore. He replaced Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
But Daryl Smith can play. I mean,
I've always kind of liked him. Why are we like the first day of free agency? We're looking for a backup linebacker.
Well, are we worried about losing Spikes? And you know, as little as you know, he couldn't play every down, but the role that he played, are we worried about losing that?
Not really, because I think Hightower is more than capable of filling that role.
And I think he's a more versatile version of that.
Yeah.
Now, depth is an issue at linebacker. You have three starters, one of which is coming off a season-ending injury. The second one is also a young player. So there's some depth, because you don't have anything else after that. So there's depth issues, but I don't have that as my primary or one of my high needs heading into this.
Yeah, I agree.
Lamont says...
Vilma's a guy that I think Bill has always
liked. Big dummy.
Vilma for, like, veteran minimum, just late in his career, you want to... I could see Vilma.
Yeah, it would be late in his career, not for the reason that the emailer said, that the Bounty Gate discount. You're not going to get any less money because he was involved in a scandal. No. It would be because he's older. Yeah.
I want him taking out people on the other team.
So he's the kind of guy that Bill likes.
Oh, yeah. No, he's talked glowingly about him for years, dating back to when he and DJ Williams were coming out of Miami. I think when I went down there, and one of those old stories on the spring scouting trail or whatever, and all the
before
way through.
You know, Refrigerator Perry was doing on
the Vortex.
Lamont says, tell Bill to sign Steve Smith and release Danny Amendola ASAP.
Anybody have any interest in Steve Smith? Am I the only one that has absolutely no interest in Steve Smith?
I don't like him.
Would have minimal. Not no. So, yes.
You like to use, the diminishing skills thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like, was he was like a glorified slot receiver last year.
Oh, yeah, that's what he is.
Catch.
No, that's what he is.
He's supposed
but
to be
if
a big
I lose
play
Edelman,
guy.
Would
can't
I take
do that
him?
Anymore.
Probably. I think he's kind of a douche.
Kind of?
Well, yeah. He's certifiably insane.
We've had those guys pass through here before.
And we can work with that.
On one-year deals?
You know, 4 or 5 years ago, I would have embraced certifiable insanity.
Right.
But he's not that guy anymore, and he's insane.
But I still think he has some fire. As a possession guy, I still think he can be productive. But, yeah, if you think he's still Steve Smith, he's not. He's now Danny Amendola,
Julian Edelman. Tight end averaged more yards per catch than he did. Olsen.
Yeah, no, I mean, his role is now possession receiver. Yeah. If that's what you want.
I don't want any more of those. I have to, the market cornered on that.
Well, not if Edelman runs.
Amendola does that next year.
Yeah, but what happens when he misses his 5 games?
Then they plug somebody else in to catch 10-yard passes.
Voice control to Major Tom. Steve from Winchester writes in, hey, Andy, thoughts on re-signing Manawa Nui? You said he wasn't the best third tight end in football, but didn't he beat out the best third tight end in football in training camp?
Inexplicable.
Pats are aggressive in free agency. We're back, baby.
Inexplicable.
In all seriousness, good signing. To bring back a guy that has shown a lot of versatility the last 2 years, they're comfortable with. He's not an impact guy, but just as a guy to have so that it's not DJ Williams and an ACL Rob Gronkowski, that's a good, solid, no money, no risk signing. He's at best your third tight end. Whatever, who cares? That's a good signing.
Yeah, and did you see the Blue Angels video on Patriots.com with him?
No.
Not yet.
It was really good.
Yeah.
It was
the
cool
GoPro?
Because they have the GoPro in the jet with him while they're, breaking the speed of sound. It's pretty cool.
I probably vomit.
Would you? Yeah, I mean, you could say even he was like,
Yeah, no, I mean,
yeah.
There's no problem
if you can be,
about it. I know
you can prepare.
I just almost swore
properly for that.
No bleeping way.
Alex writes in, do you guys see any chance that we sign a top-tier corner other than Tlaib?
No.
I feel like there's no way we invest money in Werner or even Revis if he gets cut if we didn't want to invest the money in Tlaib.
Also,
what do you guys think of Trent Murphy? To me, he seems like he could be an upgrade over Rob Ninkovich. Related to that, do you ever worry that Belichick gets too attached to certain guys like Ninkovich who work hard and put the team first and sometimes make clutch plays even when there's better talent out there?
So we have our answer. Gregory's gone, so now Ninkovich is the whipping boy?
Now,
he's
the one who
is not doing his job and has to be replaced, and Bill is, like, missing something on
I don't think Belichick gets too attached to anybody.
No, it'll be McCourty next.
That's just me. Brady would be the only one that I would...
Maybe.
I would say.
He says stuff. He's got a tonality issue sometimes.
Ramon from Dallas says, great show as usual. I'm confused about something here. Do NFL teams pay a player for what he's done or for what he can do in the future? I say this because the arguments about paying Kaepernick is that he has not won the big game yet, even though we know he can. On the flip side, the argument against Flacco is that he was paid for what he did as opposed to what he'll do in the future. So which is it really?
Both. Oh, yeah, it's both. I mean, if you have a guy you think can win it based on what he's done, you're paying him for what he's done and what you expect him to
do. Kaepernick's going to end up signing a deal for like $16 million.
Right.
I mean, that's getting paid for what you might do.
Yeah.
I mean, Flacco signed a deal for like whatever, 20. Well, I don't know what 20, the age
was. It was 20.
Yeah. And it was for what he did and what he might do.
It was the hope slash expectation that the guy that played a year ago now, January, is the guy he was going to be moving forward. He may be, he may not be. But
Russell
it's
Wilson's going to have to get paid, too.
Past performance is not a indicator of future whatever.
Returns.
Past results.
Whatever, something like
not
that.
Not indication.
It's all it's investing. It's rolling the dice. It's projecting.
Right.
And there's some of both.
Just talked about.
Hey, look, there were people in this town that thought that they re-signed Brady too soon, that they extended his contract too soon after the 2001 Super Bowl. So it goes for everybody.
Well, there were people in this town that wouldn't have paid Will for because he was good, but is the value there? What's he going to be?
Right.
And then you can ask the same question within a contract. You know, it's come up lately. Did Will Fork, when he signed his deal, did he really believe he would get paid $7.6 million this year? Did he think that was going to be the case? I don't know if he honestly did or didn't, but you certainly had to look at that and say, there's a chance they might want to do a little something with that, huh?
Right.
Yeah, I think he felt he would had he not gotten hurt.
Yeah.
I think that the injury really clouds things.
Maybe
now,
changes things.
I think there's a really good
chance
there
would have been a phone call either way.
They'd be ripping up that last year either way.
Yeah.
But now, it might not be as big a shave or as...
Well, I think what it would have been, it would have been much easier to sit there and say, we're going to tack on 3 years,
and
we're going to spread this out the way Andy talked about last week with the restructure. Now, if you do that, there's always that thought in the back of your mind that the injury is going to prevent him from being worth the three additional year investment. So that's why it gets difficult.
All right, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, take a call. Chester's in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's up, guys? Man, so psyched for free agency. It's almost like Christmas this morning, you know. And I've just learned with all these reports just to take everything with a grain of salt because there's so much smoke out there right now with Florio leading the way. And Andy, by the way, did you see how he got called out on Twitter yesterday? Last night, a couple guys just started ganging up on him, just saying how much mud he's just throwing against the wall and just seeing if it would stick or not. But I thought of you right away. Pretty good stuff to see him trying to backpedal on some of that BS. But man, too bad about Jared Allen. From what I hear, he's shipping off to Denver. And, you know, as far as Darren Sproles goes, you know, he just doesn't strike me as a cold weather guy. He, you know, I know he had some success in San Diego outdoors, but, you know, I don't know. I don't think it's the right fit. I agree. I think doubling up on that type of back would be a waste of money, especially for what he's going for. Listen, I think the guy we attack right now after waking up this morning, Owen Daniels. Let's get after it. Let's get that second tight end. This guy is a fantastic receiver with great hands. I mean, guys, the first 6 weeks of this last season, he was beating out Andre Johnson as the number one receiver of that football team with a questionable quarterback. I mean, I'm just envisioning this guy with a Gronkowski next to him and potentially a draft pick. And I'm telling you, we could really, really get this arsenal, put less stock in that wide receiver position, assuming that we can bring back Edelman. But, you know, I was absolutely shocked that he was released. I don't know about you guys. I mean, $4 million, that just doesn't seem like too much to spend on a guy like that. And, you know, the jury's out on whether or not his knees is bad, but... Man, I think it's worth taking a flyer on. Lastly, man, Rashad Mendenhall retired. Did you guys catch that statement he wrote?
I did. But he did write something about why he retired.
It was very good.
What was
it? Real interesting.
I mean, he doesn't want to play anymore. He believes the NFL is all about the show now. And he comes from a place where it's about the team. It's about building to win. And now it's all about, he referenced the thing they do on there where they like highlight the best touch on NFL Network,
the
where
dancing.
They highlight the best touchdown, you know, dancing with the starters.
Right.
He referenced different things like that. And he basically, it's just not the league he wants to play in. He doesn't want to put his body on the line for where it is.
He never got to experience the Patriots way, in my opinion. I mean, what that told me is the Patriots way is the right way to operate. I mean, I know a lot of people crap on it, but, man, they're a team-first organization. When I read that, I was like, man, this guy just never got to experience being a Patriot. And, you know, it was pretty eye-opening to me. For anybody who has not read it, I surely recommend reading that up.
But, Google it. I believe it's on the Huffington Post.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
By the way, Chester, we'll start that rumor in October when either Ridley or somebody gets injured and we need a running back. We'll start the lure Rashard Mendenhall out of retirement to experience the Patriot way rumor.
So we can stick here, too.
I think retirement's all your fault, man. I think a word got out about you naming your testicle after him, and I don't know about anybody else, but that's rock bottom in my book. Right? Anyways, you guys.
Yeah, but on the other hand, Chester, Quinn had a great season last year.
Quinn could have been Defensive Player of the Year. Quinn,
man, that guy is such a beast. But
I told you,
I took a page out of Eric's book. I tapped into my artistic side and I wrote a little poem that I emailed in. You guys should check it out. And I'm out. You guys take it easy.
Okay, thanks, Chester.
Poem. Yeah, we can't read that poem.
Yeah, I didn't want to tell Chester, but it's not that good.
Well, I don't know about good. It's
borderline.
It's
terrible,
inappropriate.
And it's really offensive.
Yeah. So.
Didn't read it.
It's more offensive meat than me when I left work on Friday.
Nick from Illinois writes in at webradio.com.
I said, call me Michael Sam because I'm out.
We know that the Patriots aren't going to be going after one of the big-time primetime free agents, especially if they do manage to re-sign Tlaib. They will likely be financially hampered in what they can do throughout the remainder of free agency.
Not necessarily.
There was, however, one name that I thought looked interesting. I saw an article that Rolando McClain wants to come back and play.
No.
The Ravens still have his rights. I think that if he were able to become available, would you be interested? He's a guy with some talent, could be had for fairly cheap.
Marksman.
And you know how much Bill likes those former first-round picks. I'd love to hear your
thoughts. That have been in prison.
Though the whole idea is moot if the Ravens decide to hold on to him.
Yeah, I don't really have any interest in him. Mm. I thought he was overrated coming out of Alabama. Why is he yelling?
I just don't understand why every single guy who has significant off-field problems has to be our target. Why can't we just go after the guys that might be able to play?
The one part he got right was Bill does collect former first-round picks like they're candy. I don't know why you'd collect candy.
All right.
I have no interest in it at all.
I don't understand the infatuation with everybody's problems.
With J.D. Drew.
Because people, all they care about is winning. And
no,
if
it's
a guy
value.
Has any sort of talent,
because Bill has no deal. It's value.
Right.
Fred, it's all value. They think anybody who has trouble, I can get on the cheap,
right,
and he'll be fine here.
Because they've so conditioned everybody into thinking that that's the only way to do it. You can't spend any money. You have to do everybody on the same level contract. And there's a whole lot of different ways to do it. You can be aggressive and have it not work, and you can still win. Look at Seattle. Mm. Seattle made that big money deal for Percy Harvin, and he got nothing out of him and won the Super Bowl. Mm. It doesn't have to destroy you.
They would have won the Super Bowl without him.
Right.
So he wouldn't have, you know.
But they would not have won the Super Bowl had they been a team that didn't have some of the advantages they had right now.
If this was five years down the road
and they did that same move, they would not have won the Super Bowl because they would have rued the day they wasted resources on a guy that had no impact.
Had Seattle not won the Super Bowl, that everybody would be holding them up as the poster child for this is why you can't win. Hmm. Well, they just did it. It couldn't have gone more wrong, and they still won the Super Bowl. So imagine if it goes right. Imagine if you have Bill Belichick doing it instead of Pete Carroll. Mm-hmm.
Well,
when your chances of it going
Patriots could not have done free agency much more wrong for 3 years, and they've gone to the AFC title game.
No, but they do it wrong with low level players. Imagine if they tried to get good players.
Yeah, but wrong is wrong.
You know
if
what
they can't pick
about.
Bad players, how are we to be assured they can pick good players?
Well, because they're constantly looking in the shallow end, and maybe if they use the entire league. And they could find some good players instead of just using the guys that, you know, have been in prison twice and quit football before their rookie contract was up.
Colin in Belgium
snarky today.
Oh, yeah. Colin in Belgium. Yes, it's the Patriots offseason.
That was a Patriot fan shot, not a Bill Belichick shot, by the way.
Oh, he's not done, Fred. He'll tell you when he's done.
Colin in Belgium.
Kind of like it's an Andy
Patriots
joke.
It's Patriots offseason. It's like Christmas for poor people. I picture all of Patriots Nation huddled in front of the free agency storefront window, looking at all the shiny new pass rushers and cornerbacks for sale, looking like a bunch of Charles Dickens street urchins, shivering in the cold, in the best British accent, Fred. Please, sir, can I have Jared Allen this year?
He said best.
And then we get home,
wasn't bad.
And all we get is hand-me-down Michael Omanawanui and McCourty contract extensions.
All right, before we complain, I mean, I'm as snarky as anyone.
He hasn't gotten
before
it
we complain about what we do in free agency,
it's not open
can
yet.
We wait for free agency to start?
It's even
worse. Well, we don't have to. You just said if they re-sign Edelman and Tlaib right now, you'd be happy, right?
I didn't say that. I asked you guys if you'd be happy,
that.
And you both said no.
Oh, okay.
It's even
right?
worse.
And I
because
said I was surprised that Fred would.
It's even worse because a bigger kid on the block took away our favorite receiver toy last year. We're hiding Aqib Tlaib under our mattress, hoping nobody will steal him too. So, in this spirit, I ask you to complete this sentence. All I want for off-season Christmas is blank.
Well, Tlaib and Allen. I'm not getting Allen. I've given up on that.
How about Tlaib
them
and
to be aggressive.
One of those defensive line guys like
Allen.
Justin Tuck or
yeah,
you know.
I wanted Allen.
Them to be aggressive is my answer.
And that means in your lexicon? So,
well, I mean, like if the rumors that we heard today, they're close with Tlaib, and if Revis is cut, they're a team to look out for.
That's certainly being aggressive.
That would qualify to me as being aggressive. I would take that.
So Tlaib and Revis?
That'd be great.
No.
Oh,
but I actually
on.
Think
that's
that
happen.
If they sign
no.
Tlaib...
Are you going to be upset if that doesn't
I'm not going to be upset if it doesn't,
no,
but I would love to see
I
that
I think
happen.
What he's saying, and maybe
well, yeah.
I'm misspeaking. No, but to me, they don't have to get Revis. If they sign Tlaib
and still get well into negotiations for Revis.
Yeah.
They're being aggressive.
They're being aggressive.
Whether they get him or not, whether they go the full mile.
Yeah, they might
not
get
it. If somebody gives him 12 and they're offering 10.
Sure.
They're being aggressive.
They're trying.
Even calling Revis after you signed Tlaib is being aggressive.
Oh, okay. God, yeah.
All right. Okay.
But I need a pass rusher.
If there's any fire to that smoke, that would be that would qualify.
I want Allen.
That would qualify as being a
What would you rather have? Tlaib and Revis?
Doesn't do anything for me.
Or one of those guys in a pass rusher?
What was the question?
Would you rather have Tlaib and Revis?
Tlaib and Revis.
Or one of those guys in a pass rusher? Pass rusher.
I think Tlaib and Revis.
Tlaib and Revis.
That's pretty freaking good.
Yeah, that would be
that would really
pretty
legit. Because that would help you.
I don't think you need a pass rusher.
I can't get a pass rusher.
That would let the quarterback stand.
We always talk about how the pass rush helps the secondary.
Right.
In this case, it would be the other way around.
Dramatically. Yeah, all of a sudden, Michael Buchanan's your pass
rusher.
Yeah, if you're asking me.
Chris Jones.
Tlaib and Revis or Tlaib and J.J.
Watt. Jake Beckett has 10 sacks.
You know.
I don't think that'll happen.
I would take the, you know, if it were like J.J. Watt or someone that. I don't think there's a caliber of pass rusher as good as Revis.
Right.
So, for that reason, I'm out.
For that reason, I am out.
Did you see Shark Tank, by the way, on Friday?
I did not.
It was a good one. Mark Cuban accused a guy of not really being serious about doing a deal. He just came on for the promotion.
I love when he calls guys out.
Yeah, it's good.
Was he right?
He might have. Well, the guy ended up taking the deal, but what's his name? The guy at the end, the Croatian?
Robert.
He actually offered the guy twice what he was asking for.
That's what Bill
And the guy couldn't decide. And Mark Cuban's like, why wouldn't you? He's offering you twice what you came in here looking for. So you must be here not willing to do. You're just here for the promotion, for the publicity. Because, you know, he called the guy. And the guy eventually took it, but it took him a while.
Guilted him into it.
Yeah, exactly. Terrence from Long Island just tuned in on the show between classes, so I'm not sure if you addressed this. But because Dobson is getting surgery, do the Pats go after a wide receiver in the first three rounds of the draft? I didn't think they would invest a high draft pick in another receiver this year. But after this news, I think it's possible.
Well, they should do that regardless of his having surgery.
Does the surgery have any impact on the draft?
I don't think the surgery has any impact on the draft.
You don't think so?
Do you think?
Nah, not in that position, no.
Dobson surgery have any impact on the draft?
Not really.
I don't think so either. I think we're all in agreement. I wouldn't mind if they thought that a receiver was worthy of wherever they go, second round, third round.
Well,
I wouldn't take one in the first, but I think I would take one early if one presented itself.
I've kind of thought all along that, and right now my pick in the mock draft is Kelvin Benjamin. Not necessarily because I think they were targeting a receiver. I think they're targeting some playmakers on offense in the passing game. And if they don't like Safarian Jenkins and they like Benjamin more, okay, he's a big receiver. It's not a tight end, but it's what they do. They're going to throw three guys out there. They've thrown, you know, Edelman, Amendola, and Slater out there and called that an offense. They've thrown two tight ends out. I think they could find a way, if they think Benjamin is good, to make the offense work. With Boyce and whoever else is out there.
I think he's good.
So I think they are targeting a pass catcher, and if a receiver floats their boat more than the tight ends that are available, I think they could take one.
Alex from Philly, I should have known that the whole Revis thing was building towards an argument. It only took knowledge of Florio's involvement to turn it into an all-out shouting match. Still, it was a great argument, right up there with the as-well-as argument a few years back. Moving on, free agency is upon
every
us.
Every once in a while, you get a bee in your bonnet.
Free agency is upon us, and we have needs to fill on this roster, and there are players available that can fill those needs at the right price. So, should I get excited thinking that the Pats will be making aggressive moves to get talent, or should I curb my enthusiasm because the Patriots will do what they usually do, pinching every penny and making quick moves for value?
Curb your enthusiasm.
What I do know is that if Tlaib isn't back and we don't replace him with someone of his caliber, we're officially moving backwards. I have no faith in anyone in our secondary. I don't trust that our pass rush is good enough to cover up our secondary, and I know our offense is not good enough to carry another bad defense. So Bill and company better open the wallets because time is running out.
Now, is re-signing Tlaib aggressive and I mean, does that resonate with people, or is that assumed and you got to do more? And like,
yeah, I think.
People forget they spent $31 million on the first day of free agency last year?
They'd like to.
I mean, was that aggressive?
No, they'd like to forget.
To quote Fred, who's been saying for a week, that's a splash. I mean, when you go out and sign a receiver for 5 years and $31 million on the first day of free agency,
that was a splash.
That's a splash.
To use your term, the shallow end of the pool, and they hit bottom.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was a big money splash, though. I mean, I think they got the wrong guy. But Patriots fans didn't think they got the wrong guy. They spent the whole year, or the whole offseason, telling us how wrong we were.
Some people didn't like him. There were people that thought he was injury-prone, didn't want him.
Not many that we
sure
heard
thing.
From. Right? Yeah. I mean, when we heard last year, did a lot of people say that they got the wrong guy? I don't remember hearing that.
That's my highlight of the season.
I heard he was a younger, more athletic, faster version of Welker.
Sure.
And that's why he got more money.
Yeah.
That's what one side was saying, yep.
That's what you should put on your app.
One side or the predominance?
You should put on those nine channels.
The predominant side was he drops passes when it counts. Good riddance, bring in Amendola.
Well, that was Fred.
You should put what you hear on one channel, what Paul hears on another channel, and then reality on a third channel.
All right, but you're allowed to be snarky, too. That was okay. Was that wrong? Do you not think that was our predominant? I'm not saying every guy 100%, but you don't think that was the predominant
60-40, 60-40 either. I think
there were a lot of people upset
sides.
About losing Welker.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's not what I'm asking.
He's asking,
what
the majority was.
What was the impression of Amendola?
Oh, well,
he's a younger, faster, more athletic guy who gets hurt, who can play outside, and he's not injury prone.
No,
he's had real injuries.
Now you're talking about the people that are
right, the spinners,
wonks like Fred.
He's had real injuries. A lot of those people said,
right,
those people
that were defending him, but there was a whole other faction saying he's injury prone.
I think there were people that didn't love the move.
I think it was about even.
Okay,
yeah.
I don't know if it was even.
Slight edge,
I think it was within 10 to 15%
right.
Either way.
But I think most
that's
people
okay.
were 65-35, 60-40, 55-45.
I thought it was greater than that. I thought it was more like 75-25, but that's okay.
I thought it was greater the other way. That's
I think
my point.
More.
Yeah, he thought it was
I think
even.
More people
it's
were.
About even.
I think more people were grass is greener people.
I thought there was more grass. I heard a lot of people complaining about Welker's inability to make the big catch,
yes.
quote unquote, the big catch.
I heard too many people making that.
And I heard a lot of people saying basically good riddance.
Yeah.
I heard both. I heard that, and I heard other people saying that's nonsense.
I didn't really hear the backlash.
I heard people saying
Welker.
I'm not going to be a Patriots fan anymore because they got rid of Welker.
Yeah, we hear those every year.
Wait. That's the very first
right.
day.
Right, I'm telling you the
I'm
extreme.
Talking about the offseason as a whole. The first day, you're right. Your first day, it was like 99% killing the Patriots for letting Welker go. No one even was – I don't even think anybody was aware. When you bring in the food in, by the way. I don't think people were aware that we had even signed Amendola the first day. All everybody was talking about was, how can you let Welker go over peanuts? You guys are right about that. Everybody was all over them. But as the offseason, as we are wont to do, we wrap our minds around it, and we decide that it's better this way. And I thought that's what I heard until the season started. And Welker caught a million passes, especially early, and Amendola was hurt right out of the chute.
Right.
And that's when it turned the other way.
Mikey Vandalism from East Haven, Connecticut writes in, ready for some premium Pats free agency. Don't get too excited or you might end up with a pair of blue footballs while Belichick loads up on special teamers and over-the-hill turds like Wesley Woodyard and Jason Avant. Also, why are those rats Adrian Wilson and Isaac Sapuaga still on the team? Release them and clear some cap space and run wild and answer all of Patriot Nation's pipe dreams and do a deal for Revis. Oh, wait, they won't because New England hates playmakers. You guys have just turned these people. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, I don't know how they win a football game.
Can I just say something?
I don't know how they win a football game.
Can I defend
game.
Myself?
Yeah.
I think that is every bit as wrong as the other side.
Right.
Okay? So I'm not advocating that. And I know that Mikey Vandalism is being a little bit hyperbolic to make his point. I don't think they're cheap. I don't think that they don't do things the right way. I don't think any of that stuff. I would like to see them be a little bit more aggressive and target a little bit higher caliber player rather than, as Andy likes to point out, throw $4 million at a guy like Sean Ellis. You know, I would rather, you know, get John Abraham if you think that
right.
that's the guy. Identify the guy that you think can play.
They learned from last
and
year.
And then give him some money. Yeah. That's what I would like to see.
All right. Chris, you ready to take a break? You know how to do that? Chris, you good? Okay, thumbs up. All right, so let's take a break. Well, a lot of emails coming in. We've got a couple people on the phone line, so we'll get right to that after this break.
Do you know where your beer is brewed? With 12 breweries spread out all across the United States, a fresh Budweiser is closer than you think. Want to see just how fresh? Download the Track Your Bud app. Then you can retrace the creation of the Bud in your hand. Where and when it was brewed, where the ingredients came from, its brewmaster. It's like taking a tour of your local Budweiser brewery from the comfort of your bar stool. Get to know your bud. Download the Track Your Bud app or visit trackyourbud.com today. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Hey, Boston, spring is almost here, and before you know it, our world champion Red Sox will be back at Fenway Park. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you always get the best seats at the lowest prices, all with our 200% guarantee. Right now, Ace has your tickets to all games, including opening day, marathon weekend, and the Yankees. Ace Ticket, the ticket you want and the service you deserve. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit Ace Ticket.
Hey, rookie, I'm Coach B here to get everyone ready for the Bacardi O'Kart Challenge. What is it? It's your time to see what spice rum is supposed to taste like and your chance to step your game up. You'll only find a challenge like this from Bacardi O'Kart. But enough talk. Hustle over to OkartChallenge.com, only if you're a real contender. Bacardi O'Kart, smooth and spiced. What spiced rum should taste like. Drink with honor and responsibility. Copyright 2013 Bacardi USA Inc., Coral Gables, Florida.
The boys are back. The 2014 season of New England Revolution Soccer kicks off on March 22nd when the Revs welcome Vancouver Whitecaps FC to Foxborough. After last year's run to the playoffs, Diego Fagundes, Kellen Rowe, and the rest of the Revs are ready to take on the best MLS has to offer. Get your seat for the action now. Call 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net.
When most restaurants talk about deals, they talk about price. Actually, they usually yell about it, or turn it into some kind of song. But a deal is only as good as what you're getting. Like the Papagino's $8 deal. The price is great, but the pizza is even better. See, when you buy any large pizza, you can get up to three large cheese pizzas for $8 each. Three large Papagino's pizzas? That's some good stuff. And see, we didn't even have to yell. Papagino's.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
We are boring to tears, young Benjamin.
He was just asleep on his mom's shoulder.
He's probably hungry.
Ben, are you hungry?
Hungry.
Hungry. Oh, God.
Don't. Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
You should know hungry? I got a little wiener.
Thanks, the Heffernans for...
Heffernans.
Heffernans. I was going to say Heffernrepper, but that's... All right, we'll see you on... See you next Tuesday.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, John in South Carolina writes in, I'd like to say something to all the fans that act like they're being abused because the Patriots don't sign the top free agents. Shut the fuck up. Poor you. You have to suffer with this team going to the AFC title game time after time. If only they would listen to you, the guy who fills the salad bar at Ruby Tuesdays. Your great knowledge of all things football since 2007 would really give Bill the push he needs to make the right pick in free agency. The Patriots never pay anyone. The Patriots won't sign anyone. Why can't they be more like the Jets? Stop your whining. They may not make all the... right choices, and they take too much of a chance on players, but they do sign players, they do spend money, and despite the fact everything they've done has failed, they still have a better roster than most of the teams out there. How is this possible if they do nothing but fail at free agency and drafting? Thank you, John, from South Carolina, for a little bit of rationality.
You got something?
I was just waiting for you to say best coach, best quarterback.
That's true. That is an absolute fact.
Let's go to the A-stick.
I just want to say one thing to John, because okay. I think he had a very balanced email. I want to put this out there, though. On Thursday, if the Patriots happen to be very aggressive today and tomorrow, if they do something like Eric talked about and they re-sign Tlaib and maybe they grab a – they try to get Revis or they get Jared Allen and they – all of a sudden they're big players on early free agency, I want you to call in on Thursday and rip the moves. Because you think that's not the way to do it. So
that's
I want
what he said.
It is what he said.
No, he didn't say that you shouldn't sign.
He wants us. He mocked and ridiculed the teams that are aggressive in free agency, quote, like the Jets.
No, he didn't
ignoring
say
the
that.
Two teams that spent the most money last year, Seattle and Denver.
He's ridiculing the fans who always who think want that other teams do it better.
That want that. The other teams do it better. He's ridiculing the fans that want you to go out and be big players in free agency. So if we are a big player in free agency, I expect to hear an email ripping the Patriots.
I think what he's saying.
I know
is
I won't get that from anybody.
The Patriots do what they think is best, and if this year they think that the guys that are available.
Exactly. So don't tell me about the philosophy. Thank you very much.
You've proved my point. That's the point.
Thank you very much, Paul. No further questions.
That's absolutely the point. There is no set philosophy that Patriots are, guilty of. That's the point. But fans think they are. They think that they will never do this. They never do that. They always do this. They always do that. And we know whether it's the draft or free agency, that's not the case.
And therefore, whatever they do is right.
No, it's. And he also said that in the email. He said they may make the wrong moves, but don't say that they always do. You know, they never sign this guy. You know, sure, they make mistakes when they make moves both ways. Adalys Thomas is an example of signing a big-name guy and striking out. And then there's, of course, a lot of small, you know, smaller names that they struck out. But they've also hit on guys. You know, so it's just really wrong to, you know, stereotype them and, you know, typecast them in any way. So I think that's all the emailer was saying. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dan's in Virginia. Hey, Dan.
Hey guys, is there a lot of energy in the building today with, you know, free agency on the
there is.
Horizon?
Yeah, you know when there's a lot of energy when the finance guys are in the bathroom talking about free agency. So that's when you know there's a lot of energy.
Hey, what the finance guys do in the bathroom is, you know, their business and nobody else.
Right, it's certainly their business.
First of all, I just wanted to say the ending to last week's show was epic. We somehow went from Mike Florio to polio curing itself and the moon landing being faked. I don't know how we got there, but it was a wild ride. And I think just argues well for you guys doing some sort of screening of the show rather than just being audio. We want to see when Paul and Andy are ready to throw down and breaking out knives and baseball bats ready to just sort of club one another.
There is a groundswell of support for cameras. People are asking for it, Fred. People want to see us.
I think it would get old fast.
I do too. It also looks terrible in here.
Right.
Like, it looks asynchine. We have garbage on the table. Fred's
have to dress
eating.
It up. Yeah.
Like, Paul's picking his nose. I don't think it's really that good an idea.
Anyhow. And, yeah, plus, of course, Andy's head would obscure most of the lens. I had two comments that I want to pick up from last week and then a question about free agency. Just one thing quickly back to Cousins again. One of the things I meant to mention was that you can't judge him by what he does in D.C. I think he's the kind of guy who would succeed in a system like the Patriots where hard work and intelligence are rewarded, not like the mess in D.C. where if you don't have the talent, then basically you're not going to do anything. And the other thing was Eric said that he wanted to work in a sitcom, and I was wondering doesn't PFW in Progress count as a sitcom?
No, because this is real life. This isn't scripted.
Fair enough.
But we look like a sitcom.
We could be. You could make us into a sitcom, certainly. But at the moment, no. It's real.
Sadly.
All right. Fair enough. the thing I had about free agency was that there's been a lot of debate about Bill's abilities as a drafter between the four of you and between the fans. And I think part of the debate is that Bill has this reputation as a personnel whisperer. You know, finding these diamonds in the rough who become starters. I think that has more to do with his free agent signings, like Vrabel and Harrison, rather than anything he's really done in the draft over the course of his career. Two questions. Do you think that's true, that he's much better with the free agents than with the draft? And even if he is better with the free agents, this is my second question, the consensus seems to be that he has not been good lately with free agents. And if so, can you attribute that to anything in particular? Has it just been bad luck, or did he have good luck to begin with, or just has it been just a few decisions that didn't work out without any big hits to swing the record the other way?
Yeah, I don't think he's been good on free agents lately, and by lately, it's more than lately. It's probably going on 5 years now, somewhere in that range. But I don't think he's drafted great at times lately. I mean, I think both of his images were sort of built early in the decade, both free agency and draft. He had some very good free agent classes and had some very good drafts early in the decade. As such, they won multiple Super Bowls, and that all sort of built the image of Bill Belichick, and he's been living off that on some degree for a while.
Yeah, I think you'd have to give him like a C+, but I think,
on what?
you know, both, you know, bringing in new personnel, period. But I think, like, you know, Grunt,
overall?
Yeah, I think Gronkowski and, you know, guys like that.
Surprised. I'm very surprised he gave him that low a grade.
You know, guys like, he has made good draft picks, though. I mean, it's not like Nate Solder was a terrible draft pick. Or Gronkowski was a bad draft pick. Or even Hernandez at the time was a bad draft pick.
No.
You know, so.
It's the Rozai Dowlings and the Darius Butlers and the Ron Braces and the Patrick Chung.
Every team has those.
No, I know. But he did better in the past. If you look at older drafts, some of those drafts where he was going fourth, fifth round.
You're right. But then they had that lull, and then they kind of got a little bit better, you know, as of late.
Yeah.
You know,
pick a winner.
There was that.
I think you're right there, Andy. Is there anything you can put it down to? I mean, are other teams seeing what Bill has done and they're picking over the, you know, the offcasts and so forth more thoroughly, so there's more competition?
I will stand by what I said last week or a couple of weeks ago. I think the part that gets Bill the criticism is the longevity. He could have lived off of those early drafts and gone into the sunset like Bill Cowher, and people would have said, wow, he built Super Bowls with those. He's been here for, 14 years now? How many people have been making the decisions for any franchise? And when you are that long, you're going to have highs, lows, slumps, horrific picks, great picks, everything in between, because it's such a long window and it's going to even out. And it is an inexact science that nobody is going to go, you know, you're probably, if you're a good drafter, I mean, I don't even know what the percentage would be. You're right 55% of the time. It's like more than half the time you're right. Okay, that's good.
I
pick a winner.
I would probably give him a higher grade than Fred, even for overall. But I definitely think it's gotten worse lately, and I agree with some of the things Andy said. And I don't know this to be true, but Dan was looking for a line. And did we maybe get a little bit more willing to trade down early in the draft lately? Like the year that we ended up with the 4 second-round picks is the one that's there. I think it was 2009.
I think that's right.
I think that we sort of been doing that more. Now, maybe you could go back and point, well, they did it in 2003 and 2004, and I'm not remembering them. But to me, when you end up with 4 picks in the second round, that's more chances to miss. And by the way, they missed with 3 out of 4 of them, and the one that they hit on is an injury problem. So I think it makes it harder. I don't think that he has suddenly forgotten how to judge talent or judge the draft or whatever, but I think that when you consistently move down and move back, it makes it harder to find Richard Seymour and Vince Wilfork and, you know, all the other really good first-round picks that they've had over the years. You know, I think when you go from 20-something to 40-something, chances are you're not going to get as good a player. And I think they've done that more often.
Paul, do you think part of that moving down has to do with their success? So he figures he doesn't have to go out there and get a standout talent that he can afford to trade down, and they'll just make it work.
Yeah, and
I think he thinks that, yeah.
This is where I agree with Fred, and I don't necessarily think it's like a philosophical thing. I think he looks at things on a case-by-case basis, and I think he figures, you know, one particular year. We heard a lot about the 07 draft. That was the year they traded for Welker and they traded for Moss, and they used draft picks. We've heard a lot that was a terrible draft. They didn't like that draft. They used their draft picks to get trade compensation, and they basically passed. They took Brandon Merriweather in the first round. He was the only guy that ended up staying on the team for any length of time, and they basically passed on the whole draft. Maybe they just didn't like that draft. I don't know. Maybe there's some validity to that. I don't think it was, I don't believe that I can, you know, I'm going to start doing this instead of that now because that's my philosophy. I think it's a case-by-case basis.
I'm pretty sure that's the case. All right, Dan, thanks for the call. Let's go to
quick update.
What do you got?
We were talking about Wilfork earlier, and I don't know how I missed this, but Tom Curran wrote today, linking back to something that he apparently wrote last week, that I was told the Patriots wanted some resolution with Wilfork on a restructure/extension that would drop his cap number, quote, by Tuesday. And today is Tuesday. So maybe there was some impetus on their end to get it done by today.
So that they could have more room.
More room, right? That's what that. Well, that's the
certainly
next,
if you're going to sign Talib and Revis, you need more room,
right? If there's if there's an urgency with Wilfork, it's because they need the space, right?
Or maybe they just don't want it to fester. Maybe they if they got a vibe that they might dig in and we might have to cut a franchise legend, we'll just do it quick and clean. Yeah. Quick and clean. Get it done. We'll move on. Don't let it linger. Don't let it fester. Don't just go.
Right, and then we have more options too.
He has more options. We have more options. Everybody moves on.
Right.
We have a visitor.
Yeah, no Soxes in the house.
We got a lurker in the background.
Have you been gassy today?
No.
I smell
more
something.
More so than... Oh, no. I don't believe I've farted yet. Which is rare for me.
Yeah, Dave in Connecticut. You just finished. It's not you, now. But you're on the line.
Oh,
hey,
it's
Dave.
Coming.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Good.
You know.
Hey, this is like, for a Patriots fan, or for me, this is like Christmas. Looking at all these shiny presents.
You didn't get a lot of toys as a kid, huh?
Yeah, you know, guys, I don't know if you know that I'm sitting here. I have my ESPN on one TV. I have my NFL Network, and they just flashed on the bottom there that the Patriots did offer Edelman a 3-year deal. Didn't say anything about money.
That's correct.
Yeah,
yes.
No, that was that's
according
the report.
To our report. Yes,
and he's got till 4 p.m. Yeah, so. Or it blows up.
Or is
exactly
this contract will self destruct?
Either his signature or his blood is going to be on that contract at 4 p.m.
Exactly. I mean,
I ain't no band leader.
Oh yeah,
I agree with what you're saying. I think we need to be very aggressive. You know, there are holes that we need to patch up. I mean, this goes back to the you know everyone's saying, you know, that Tom Brady's not going to be around much longer. You know, the window is shrinking. So I mean, if we need to go out and get a Jared Allen, get him to you know for that pass rush to give. You know, Chandler Jones and Rob a break every now and then, okay? Instead of going for like Andre Carter, and I'm not bad mouthing Carter. He had when we first signed a couple years ago, he had 10 sacks before he got hurt.
Well, but a guy like Andre Carter now would be a guy giving them a rest every now and then. A guy like Jared Allen would be your main guy. That wouldn't be giving them a break every now and then. He'd be their main guy.
The same thing. You know, Chandler Jones, Arthur Jones is out there.
I think he's signing with the
Colts.
The Colts, yeah.
Different
he went to the
position,
Colts?
Though.
Yeah, pretty much.
He can't, but he's going to,
a lot of those
by
guys
all
love
reports.
Pagano, huh?
You know, I was kind of, I was sitting there and I was like listening to the Bennett, the tight end and the D line from Seattle.
Yeah,
Michael Bennett.
Michael.
I'm really surprised the Patriots didn't push that. Hey, you know, why don't you want to come here and play with your little brother? To Arthur Jones.
Wait, do you feel the need to sign an essentially an interior lineman to a $7 or $8 million a year contract?
I also think you don't know what's going on with Vince, and you don't know what's going on with Tommy Kelly.
But yeah, all right, I know, and I don't care.
Well, let me ask you this.
I
question.
I want pass though. Rushers and coverage guys moving it towards the edge.
I want to ask you this question. If Arthur Jones was not related to Chandler Jones, would you have even brought his name up?
Nope.
No.
Then you go. Case closed.
Yeah, he's just a Jag.
You wouldn't know about him.
No one in New England would know who he was.
Apparently, he's not just a Jag because he's going to make a lot of money. But from the purposes here, I don't think anybody would be targeting him as a guy they need to bring in if it weren't for Chandler Jones.
He'd be another of those anonymous guys that people wouldn't know a whole lot about.
And they would say, who is this guy? And why did he
get
all
$40 million? Dollars? Whoa.
Exactly.
Who's your linebacker? Your
Thanks,
Donald
Dave
Butler,
from Connecticut.
Who, Donald Butler?
That blew you out of the water. I mean, who, are you kidding me?
You ever heard of Donald Butler, Fred?
I thought he was in the secondary. Who am I thinking of?
That's Darius
Butler.
Right. Leroy
Donald
Butler?
Butler's an inside
Leroy
linebacker
Leroy Butler.
For the Chargers who got 40-something million with $28 million guaranteed.
Should mention it's Patriots Week on NFL Network, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, a lot of replays of the Super Bowls have been on.
Nice.
Last week was Packers Week. Okay. That really got under my skin.
So
they got sick and tired of
that. So they got the next 32 weeks figured out, right? Is that what it is?
And then I don't think every team's getting a week.
Oh, no?
The Jaguars
not every
get a
team
week.
Won the Super Bowl.
The Jaguars could barely get an
it's
hour.
It's Jaguars hour here on NFL Network. For
today
the next
we're going to show the 96 AFC Championship game, followed by the 99 AFC Championship.
We'll have a sit-down with Tom Coughlin.
And that's it.
That really
that's
fell
it.
Flat.
I was
good job on Michael Bennett. Very impressive.
I was
for a guy who wanted to sign Hicks.
Right. It's Dynasty Week, says Matt.
I was going to go to Marcus in Miami, but he hung up. So let's go to Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Hold on. What's that? You want to make flowers?
Shut up. That's one of those true detective references,
you're
right?
Say that.
I can't. I'm busy. I have free agency work to do. Yes, that's one of the free. You guys.
I haven't watched it yet. Stop.
All right. Fine.
I only watched one episode.
I only gave away like the first 2 minutes of the last episode. No biggie. I'm really excited.
No biggie. That's what my mother tells me about you all the time.
Oh!
Whoa. What'd I say? I said not now, but wait.
You've used that before. Move on. I'm winning.
All right. Your mother's back in the saddle, huh? Okay. Rock.
Vinatieri
I'm really signed, excited huh? because I think that they're, the efforts that the team is going to make this offseason, I think is going to surprise a lot of people. And my reasoning for that is not so much the whole window closing thing, but I think that last year they read the market really well, if you believe, you know, in regards to the Tlaib's one-year deal and what Welker ended up getting from Denver. I think they, again, are going to read the market this year, and I think it's going to benefit them. And I think they're going to get, I think they're going to retain who they need to retain. So I think they're going to sign both Edelman and Tlaib. That's my gut right now, and I hope I'm right. Do you guys think that?
It's looking like they might, but if they do that, are you satisfied? Is there more that you want them to do beyond those two guys?
Yeah, I want a veteran pass rusher somewhere.
Jared Allen.
And he's going to Denver,
be nice.
Right?
I know. He's going to drink in the Rockies.
Michael Johnson, though, would you be happy with that?
I believe Michael Johnson signed, right?
Like he did? $40 million from Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa Bay. Well, he didn't sign.
Yeah,
I know. He's going to Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
He's a guy I really
like.
I
someone
Michael
like
Johnson.
That. I think to keep these two guys in the fold that we have right now is vital. I don't know what you guys think, but I think that they were key contributors last year to a team that was depleted with significant injuries, and I think there'll be significant cogs again when we get our guys back.
I think the corner position is vital. They have to either have Tlaib or
Revis.
Revis, basically.
Revis.
Or we suck again.
I agree
that's
with
the way
that,
I feel.
But Edelman concerns me because he was very good last year. But it was the exception rather than the norm. And I wonder what's going to happen from here on out.
He was very good, and the passing game sucked when Gronk wasn't out there.
Yeah. I would say that you ended up.
He didn't have an impact.
I almost think that offensively, they can be good at. It's so hard to stop anybody nowadays that even when you don't have any weapons on offense, you find a way to move the ball enough to score. If you can stop people, you can win games. Even when you don't have a great offense,
we're getting Revis into.
No one can stop anybody. I mean, when I say no one,
I know what you're
28
saying.
Out of the 32 teams can't stop anybody.
And how much better do you think everybody? You know, we joked about the pass rush, but you don't think McCourty would be better if he's playing with Tlaib and Revis? Cool. He has some more flexibility to you know not cover basically everyone's ass. He can actually try to make some plays and do some stuff on his own.
Right.
I mean, that would. I mean, I know we're talking about a pipe dream, but it's a pipe dream that was put out there by
Andy
sources.
And Paul.
No, now, I mean, Adam Schefter has tied his name to watch the Patriots for Revis.
Right.
And supposedly we're already signing Tlaib. So it's a pipe dream that's been put out there in relatively legitimate media sources. It's not like Florio wrote it.
They wouldn't be able
So we're allowed to talk about it this week.
Oh, I'm sorry. Schefter's not better than Florio?
No, way better.
I like Schefter.
Way better.
I was willing to talk about it.
You apparently
last
love
week.
Florio, too. You've been defending him for a week and a half.
I just, you know, all I know is. There were people talking about Revis being available last week. I didn't see any reason why we couldn't.
There's people talking about a Malaysian airliner that's on some island and it's reliving the episode of Lost. Does that mean it's real?
You know what we turned into?
That's what this is about.
You know what we turned into last week?
No, it isn't. There should be some legitimate something.
Well, obviously there was when it came to Revis.
But there was something there.
I don't want to rehash this argument.
No, but this is the thing. We turned into
how we ended up talking about polio.
Those pompous above the fray types. Let's not talk about that until there's something to talk about, which to me is code for, you know, in the mainstream. I don't really have any information on this.
Well, that's Curran. That's Tom Curran.
Oh, I wasn't necessarily going to call
anybody. That's who you were talking about.
I wasn't necessarily
you were
calling
talking
anybody
about it because he tweeted and talked about it.
Yeah,
I was
I've
above
been trying
the fray
to stay
or
above
something.
The fray. Well, that's code for you haven't gotten your call from your buddy who tells you everything. So, all of a sudden, you can't talk about it.
So, you can't write your big words that I'm not sure
you
know what they
look,
mean.
Look, the reason why...
And you get pilloried for it. What, how's that sound?
Christian,
what does that mean?
Thanks for the call.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
He just laughs his way.
but listen, the reason why I
one of us is going to get headbutted.
I defended Ben
it's
Volen.
It's going to be you. You're an EEI
The reason
guy.
Why I defended Ben Volen last week with the whole Jared Allen talk is he just threw it out there, but then he gave reasons why it could happen, how it could happen financially. I think that's... above the fray as compared to the guys that call EI with the Red Sox trade that, you know, we'll give you, you know, one guy for your 10. That's the stuff that I think Curran is referring to. But the stuff that
whether Paul's phone's ringing, it's current on line one.
But whether it's Florio or Volin, when you back it up with some reason and how to and why to, I think it's okay to speculate that way.
Yeah, I don't love it.
But and that's what makes this fun.
I know. They could fit a million players under the cap. So
okay, so you know you're gonna dismiss it, but I think
I am.
I think
I dismiss crap
in your heart, you know that it's true.
But you. First of all, if I didn't know you so well, I know that you don't dismiss crap. You're more than willing to take part in like foolish sort of.
I dismiss
on
Florio.
The edge. Yeah, I understand that you hate Florio, and listen, who hates for no reason more than I do?
Oh, I have reasons.
I'm good. I'm good with your hatred of Florio.
He has questionable journalistic integrity, and that's when fine. I started to go back and forth with him, he, oh, I'm going to tell your boss to stop you.
But there was more than enough talk about Revis being available last week.
I need to get his mother to fight me, too.
For people to talk about it on radio shows. And you got your panties all in a bunch. Started screaming at Fred, and then you're comparing it to Polio.
Dylan writes in, Patriots Nation needs to smarten up and shut up. Every year, the nation freaks out about not signing the biggest impact free agency available or going for broke. What has that done? Only won our division 10-plus times in the last 15 years. Last year, the Dolphins gave big money to Wallace. How'd that work out? The Bucks traded for Revis. How's that working out? Everyone needs to take a step back and realize Bill knows what he's doing.
Seahawks traded for Harvin. How'd that work out?
As evidenced by his history and record.
That's another thing he referenced, all these division titles. Yeah. At what point is history not good enough? Like, it used to be, we won three Super Bowls in 4 years, including back-to-back. Now it's, well, we've been to three straight AFC title games.
Well, John Dennis
does it then turn into, well, we've been to the playoffs
John
X
Dennis
number
told
of years?
We've been to two Super Bowls in the last 5 years. So, I mean, there's that, too.
But I just want to know, when do you cross the line where you become the Raiders and you're living
well,
on
we
lame
were talking
glory?
About it. Two Super For example, Bowls you know, years, I know. So. You know it when you see it. If the Patriots are 10-6 this year, one and done in the playoffs, that's the wrong direction.
Well, it's also, I mean, if they weren't in the AFC East, they probably wouldn't have 10 straight division championships. If they were in a more difficult division, they wouldn't be winning with these types of players every year.
No, because the aura of Belichick and Brady forces these other teams to make bad moves in the division. And it would be the same in
this
any
This is
other
where division. We need cameras for that stupid face he's it got
would
on
be,
right
it
now.
It would be the same in any other division.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know?
Right.
Now, what I would say counter to that, Fred, you know, if you wanted to be serious for your rebuttal, would be that maybe they wouldn't do everything exactly the same if they had teams that were competent in the division.
Oh, they'd try to win.
They're not trying to win now? They would have to compete with a higher caliber
So every decision
team?
They make now is not in the best interest of the football team?
Well, in the best
interest
I always
interest thought of, it was. I thought it was, too. I didn't know it was, well, it's in our mediocre interest, but they suck, so what does it matter?
You don't think Belichick could adapt to a different division? And a smart guy is smart no matter where he is, right?
Yeah, I think they would win divisions in any division they were in.
But a smart guy who wouldn't have won 10 in a row. Debating another smart guy would lose sometimes.
They would make you know, maybe decisions another way.
They may have won the AFC North last year.
I don't care for that logic.
But
they would have tried harder if the division was better.
They would. No. I'm not saying they would have tried harder. I'm saying they wouldn't have won it every year, and they may have had to do things differently in order to get it. I don't think they would have won. I agree with Eric. I don't think they would have won every division 10 years in a row, except for the one they were in.
Right.
So there's no need to change anything. It's working. You're going to the AFC Championship game because you win one game every year. So if you have that safety net for you, there's no reason to think what you're doing is wrong. They think it's right. But what I'm saying is if they didn't win the division every year doing it that way, they would have to do things a little bit different.
They would adapt.
I agree with Fred.
Right.
Because he is too smart to just sit there and do the same thing. Well, I know this is the way to do it. If I'm not winning, then I got to sit there and say, well, what I'm doing isn't working.
I'm not sure he would change.
I got to go with living on a prayer.
Noel in Denver.
What does that have to do with
Denver
anything?
Radio is saying they're going to get Jared Allen for $3 million a year. That is wishful thinking, don't you think? Is there anyone else on your radar? Getting a pass rusher will only make our corners better. The AFC Championship game was not that long ago. Would Abraham have made a difference, or would Vince Kelly and Mayo being healthy have done it? I hardly ever criticize the Patriots, and maybe it's because I have been a fan since 1960. But Brady's window is closing, and no one is a great coach without a great quarterback. Now is the time. Please tell me what you think.
I think Abraham would have made a difference.
I do, too. And obviously...
Not in the outcome.
No, probably not in the outcome. But I mean, I think along the way...
Kelly would have made a difference. I liked what I saw early in the year with Kelly and Chandler Jones sort of playing off each other. Yes, they would have been better had they had another pass rusher. And don't discount the $3 million a year for Allen. You never know how much Coors Light or Bud Light's being thrown into that deal.
Oh, we could get Justin Tuck. They're talking about lukewarm interest elsewhere. And Justin Tuck, he might stay in New York.
No good.
Dan writes in, nothing. Yeah. I'm not sure where some of this optimism about free agency is coming from. For the past 6 years or so, free agency in New England has been like Christmas at your grandparents' house when you were 7 years old. You just know you're going to get another scarf or something. If the biggest move the Patriots make is re-signing Tlaib, that's not good enough, especially if the team that crushed you in the playoffs gets better. If we're not getting Allen, would you take a chance on Woodley? I know he's a couple inches and pounds too small to fit Bill's standard for linebackers that can somewhat stop the run and let passes fly over their head, but I remember him being a versatile player. I think he could make a good rotational player if he has anything left.
But he's an undersized pass rusher, and we're a 4-3 team now. So you're looking, theoretically, for a defensive end. And I don't see Woodley being even a situational defensive end.
Yeah, really. I like Woodley the player. I don't think that he's been as good. Obviously, he wouldn't be available if he were. But I agree with Andy. I'm not sure that, based on what you do now, it fits. But, you know, that's easy, too. All of a sudden, if you like a guy and you say, well, I'm going to go back and do different kind of sets because this guy can do those things.
Yeah, but is
he not sure Woodley's a
guy changer?
Yeah, I'm not sure Woodley's worth that. But I do like the player. Lamar Woodley's a good player.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Adam is calling from Ireland. Hey, Adam.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Top of the morning.
Good.
So by taking this call, does this mean I don't have to read your email?
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm gonna.
You're sober enough to type?
I was reading Jerry Callahan on the Herald, and he's arguing that the Pats need to load up like they did in 2007.
Right.
But for me, the big difference is that Brady was just turned 30 then, and you knew that even if you missed out in free agency, you know, you still have Brady for another 7 or 8 years. I mean, the Patriots don't have that luxury anymore, and surely you got to think that the priority for Robert Kraft is to make sure that when the next coach and quarterback come along, that there's cap space and good picks and there's a good situation for them to work from, rather than, you know, picking up the scraps from a failed attempt at a title because you load it up.
Yeah, but see, I disagree with you, because how often in league history do you have the best coach and the best quarterback of all time at the same time? And how often do you replace those guys with people who are as good or better?
I'd say twice.
Well,
you had Marino and Shula. I guess, yeah, three times. Walsh and Montana, right. Brady and Belichick.
Right.
Three times.
Yeah,
you're right.
Lombardi
right.
and Starr.
So when you have that.
Was Starr the best?
Noel and Bradshaw?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think Noel and Bradshaw were the best. And I don't buy that Starr was the best.
But anyway, my point is
Landry and Staubach?
You have to be the best? Like the very best?
Well, no, but that's what we're arguing here.
Okay. I wouldn't put Belichick and Brady on that list.
I knew that was going to be his next step. I knew it.
My point is,
just so you know, I would have them on my list, on that list.
It's rare that you get that type of combination, and when you have it, you need to take advantage of it, because it's not going to
happen after it.
No, you don't. You worry about life after it when life after it gets here.
You know what also takes care of your cap situation
when it's here?
When your $20 million quarterback leaves, because no one replaces, well, except for like the Broncos when Peyton Manning's available, no one replaces a $20 million quarterback with a $20 million quarterback. You at best replace him with like a $6 million guy that you signed.
You won't be able to do that because you can't, that's not the way to build a winner. You can't go out and make a splash in free
agency. Exactly. So we're going to,
so if
you
lost Brady, we couldn't sign the Manning equivalent.
$19 million in cap room, because you're going to pay the next guy $682,000 to be your quarterback.
Yeah, I would also say.
So don't worry about the cap, because the cap is crap.
Adam, are you still there?
Adam? Yeah, yeah. So everyone's voting for loading up then, yeah?
Absolutely. I'm voting for winning.
I'm voting for doing what you think is best. I'm voting for
identify
players that you think can play.
You're always for wrong.
And don't necessarily worry about 4 years down the road, because, like, I mean, I'll just give you an example. I know you said it was different because Brady was younger, but in 07 when they loaded up, what happened in 08, in 09, in 10, in 11? It didn't knock the franchise off kilter. I think there's a misnomer out there that people have been brainwashed into believing that if you go out and sign big money players and you don't win the Super Bowl,
that you're doomed,
that you're screwed.
Yeah,
for 2 years later, and I just don't see the evidence of that happening. Teams make bad personnel decisions with players that aren't good. Everybody does that, but I want to know the example of the team that took a run, fell short, and then 2 years later were completely irrelevant. And I just don't know a long list of those teams.
And how do you think the organization approaches this? I mean, what do you think Robert Kraft's thinking is on all of this? I mean, you know, that's, I mean, that's really where my question is coming from, because
yeah, I think they feel like,
I think he agrees with you.
I think they agree with you.
I think he agrees with you.
You know, the slow and steady, balanced approach, bottom third of the roster, you know, spread it out and all that stuff is the way to go. My problem with that is I think that you can look at, you know, they talk about depth. You have Logan Ryan, Kyle Arrington, and Alphonso Dennard right now under contract for your cornerbacks. So if you sign Revis and made a big splash, right, and everybody says, well, what does that do to your depth? Well, you have the same guys that you had last year,
mm-hmm.
or your depth. So how does that affect?
And if those guys were your starters, you have good
who's
depth.
Who's losing the job? Like,
in theory. I think the whole depth thing is so
ridiculous. It's a misnomer. It doesn't exist.
If you watched this team last year, I don't know how you thought they had depth. They had 14 rookies, so like a third of their roster was rookies. So you didn't have any of these mid-level veteran blah blah blah.
Yeah, but that's what you already you burned through your depth. They got hurt too.
You started the year with 14 rookies. So where are all these mid-level free agents and stuff?
No, I know.
And oh, by the way, your star nose tackle got hurt, and you had to claim a guy off the waiver wire. You scrambled to make a trade.
So many times.
He sucked. You had to promote a guy from the practice squad. Where is this miraculous depth?
People act, Fred, as if you sign a Revis, then you have to cut Arrington and you have to cut Logan Ryan because you can't afford quality backups like that. You have to just sign some undrafted rookie to go out there, and if something happens to Revis, and you're stuck with an undrafted. That's not the way it works.
I think when people are talking about maybe sacrificing depth, they're not always talking about that same unit.
Whatever.
It could be depth throughout the team.
Okay, well, last year, Vince Wilfork...
quality depth, I should
mean. Yeah, but
you always have depth, whether it's good or not is the question.
No, but my point is nobody has
Did we have all this quality depth?
Nobody really has quality depth.
We had quality depth at defensive end. We had to sign Andre Carter and throw him right into the rotation at defensive end.
And Vince Wilfork got hurt and Joe Villano had to play.
So what position has all this depth?
Other teams don't have the equivalent of Joe Villano as a backup, and this is no
disrespect. Steve Gregory gets hurt and Daron Harmon, a rookie mid-round pick, boom, has to play. Where is the depth?
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's like it's not
the focus.
It's not because that's not
well. There is something wrong with that if you sell yourself. I can't
exactly.
afford good players because I'm going to have better depth than everyone.
Yeah,
you don't have better depth than everyone.
Everybody
and why are you focusing on depth? You have to focus on starters first.
I'm actually okay if you have this philosophy that 1-53, I'm going to beat everybody's ass. I'm going to have the best, deepest roster 1-53. I just don't think they do.
I want to see starting caliber players. Yes.
I don't see these great players coming off the bench. I used to be able to argue they had three guys for two spots at outside linebacker. They had three guys for two spots at inside linebacker. They had all first round picks on end, and they had Jarvis Green. I don't see this depth anywhere. Where is all this depth?
Remember the year they had
what position is deep?
At nose
offensive
tackle.
Line, maybe you could sell me they have a little depth on offensive line. But at tight end, Gronk gets hurt, and we're throwing some ham and egg or Mulligan, who's a blocker off the waiver wire.
We often talk
about... Where's the depth?
In 2004...
Where is
they
the depth?
They were the just dominant best team in football. And that's what we're talking about. You had Roman Pfeiffer, Willie McGinnis, and Mike Vrabel. You had Ted Johnson, Teddy Bruschi, and who's the other guy? Because there were six linebackers for the four spots.
Oh,
who am
McGinnis,
I missing?
If you call.
Who am I missing?
Ted Johnson.
McGinnis, Vrabel.
Colvin,
outside. Pfeiffer, Johnson, and
Bruschi
inside.
Yeah.
You had Keith Traylor and Vince Wilfork at nose tackle. You had first-round draft picks in Seymour and Warren at ends. You had Jarvis Green, a fourth-round pick, who was productive coming in. You didn't have undrafted rookies backing up at all these different spots.
Do you disagree with any of this? I know you're just kind of absorbing it.
What I'm saying is...
No, he's watching the fish and
chips. But I'm not suggesting...
Oh, we got to turn this... It's worse than the boobs or the infomercials.
Babe Winkleman gets Fred's
attention. I used to think it was infomercials and boobs, and now we find out it's the fishing shows.
But I also don't want to be unfair, Fred. You can't do that every year. That was a special team.
Right.
You can't be the 2004 Patriots every year. No one can do that.
But they haven't been for a while.
But what I'm
so
saying is we bill ourselves as
about
that
10
now.
Years they haven't been the 04 Patriots.
Well, and when I say we, I don't mean the Patriots organization itself. I mean we as talkers about the Patriots, our fans, our media, us, we talk about the Patriots as if we're still doing it the way we always have done it with the same caliber of players, and we don't. We don't have those guys anymore. We don't have that caliber of depth. When Ty Law went down, you had Asante Samuel. Asante Samuel, 2 years later, was the number one free agent on the market, 3 years later.
And that's actually why I think they fail in their depth is the drafting more than the free. I
exactly.
think most depth
that,
comes
that's
draft.
What I was about
it's,
to say.
It's draft free.
You had Asante Samuel because you drafted.
Right, exactly. You don't have depth now because you blew it on Tavon Wilson. You blew it on,
right.
you know, Rozai
Dowling. That's why you have to change a little bit of your approach, but, in my opinion.
But if your depth
agency.
Comes from draft, then your depth should not affect your free agent signing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right? Because right. if you believe, like I do, that a good portion of your depth is going to come from a 2 or 3 year span of draft picks, mm. then that's not really related to your free agency. Those guys are set dollars. They're rookie contracts. You know, you have a finite amount of money that's going to be invested in them. So I should be able to, the only way that affects your money is when they're really good and you have to decide, am I re-signing that guy?
Yeah.
Am I giving that second round safety now?
But,
you know, a
but
big
all those guys you were mentioned in 04, you know, with the exception of Brady, who was now 4 years in the league. McGinnis probably had, but in law, but all those guys had, none of them were like the highest paid at their position. You know, all those guys were at, you know, reasonable contracts. They weren't huge,
but I'm not
huge
okay.
contract
I'm not
guys.
Who says you have to throw huge contracts?
What does that have to do with anything?
But don't if a lot of them were, you wouldn't have been able to have that depth.
No, I disagree. You drafted the depth. The draft picks were the depth.
But whatever the reason is, if you have a lot of high salary guys.
Who said anything about having to be the highest salary?
What I'm saying is in 04, you didn't have like the super, you know, all these guys that you're talking about that made up one of the dominant teams in the league weren't necessarily the highest paid at their position.
What is your definition of a lot? Because well, you know, Ty Law was at the top of
no,
the quarterback
I said
list.
Like Ty Law, but.
Tom Brady was very well paid at the time.
But he wasn't even close to being one of the highest paid quarterbacks.
Oh, yes, he was.
No.
Yes, he was.
No.
He was pretty up there.
He was up there, but he wasn't the highest.
He had gotten that contract.
Brewski certainly wasn't one of the highest.
No, Brewski wasn't. But Seymour was the number six overall pick
you know,
at a time when first round.
Vrabel in 04 didn't have a huge contract.
I believe he was on his second deal by that
but
time.
It wasn't
but you might be right.
It wasn't that big.
Oh, yes, it was.
Oh yes, it was.
When he signed that you.
I don't know. Don't yell at me. You're yelling at Fred.
He signed that extent. But my point is, how many is a lot? Because they had a handful of guys, not the highest paid guy at their position, every one of them. Right. But they had a handful of guys. The depth was represented, Freddie, in the draft class. And I'll give you an example right now. You know how it worked well? Linebacker this year, you had a second round pick in Jamie Collins. That was Asante Samuel, a guy that we drafted. He needed to go in and play, and he played well. That's where you get depth.
Right.
They didn't have a lot of those guys, though. Well, Jamie Collins was the outlier.
And the other issue we've talked about, again, is you have guys that make a lot of money. Are you getting good value out of that money? Steven Gostkowski, Dan Conley, Logan Mankins, Vince Wilfork, guys that are not necessarily playmakers making a big chunk of your top 10 cap space. Now, again, you can make your own opinions whether you're getting value out of Mankins. Is he worth $10 million a year, $55 million? Or Wilfork, was he worth $42 million and, you know, $10 million, $10 million a year? But they're paying some of those guys where I think some people would argue you're not getting value.
And does that affect their depth?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you spend that much money on a guy, that affects your depth, certainly.
The draft picks aren't there behind those guys. That's affecting the depth.
I mean, that's a case. But, that's a very, very valid case because you have to do both.
Everything affects your depth.
Yeah.
Everything is part of the draft, free agency, health status, everything.
A guy like Jimmy Johnson will always
throw that in there now.
You know, a guy like Jimmy Johnson will always say, you got to build through the draft. You have to build through the draft.
And that's what the Patriots are the best.
But that's not Jimmy Johnson. That's everybody in all of sports.
Right. And
if you build through the draft, if you are a good drafter and suck in free agency, but you're a very good drafter, you will always be competitive and good.
And if you blow through second round picks like the Patriots have done, and certainly in the secondary, it's going to hurt you.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt you. That more than anything else.
The Patriots' overall philosophy, and I think that you guys will agree with this, I agree with their overall. What they've tried to do is build through the draft, and they try to re-sign their own guys that they deem important. And I think, with few exceptions, there's a couple of guys that they deemed expendable that I didn't agree with. But for the most part, they've been able to re-sign handfuls of guys around. I think that some of those guys they paid more than I would have, but that's okay. To re-sign Gerard Mayo and to re-sign Vince Wilfork, sometimes you overpay your guys. I'm okay with that. Where they, I think, have fallen off a little bit is they haven't drafted as well as they did early in Belichick's tenure. And I think you have to then adjust to that by saying, if something happens to A, B, and C, I don't have – Terrence Wheatley can't do it. I don't have Jonathan Wilhite and Darius Butler and Rasai Dowling. They're not capable. So maybe I need to go out and sign somebody. They made a big deal to get Aqib Talib. That, to me, is an adjustment. Now you have to retain him. Now, it looks like they're going to, based on
and
that report
you?
Out of Washington.
I
yes.
mean, isn't he now your guy?
I think you need to retain
But isn't he
him?
Now
yes.
your guy? And he's your guy that fits, that's is young, I mean, relatively young.
That's why I said I would be happy if they re-signed Talib. I don't care as much about Edelman. I'd be happy if they re-signed Edelman, too. I don't care. He's not as important to me as Talib.
See, because
they need Talib.
That's why
Adam's
I don't
still
need
on
Edelman.
The line from
that's why I thought Talib was
oh,
coming
he
back.
A lot of football.
He's still there, Adam?
Because he's yeah. young. He's among the best at his position. He's not looking to be the highest paid at his position because he's not going to surpass Revis. And I just think that that falls in line with Gronkowski, with Mankins, with Wilfork. Those guys were in that position.
I got one question just before I go. Is it more likely both Talib and Edelman sign, or is it more likely neither of them sign?
Both.
I think more likely both sign.
Both, yeah.
I'd be stunned if they lost both.
That's yeah. a great PFW project.
Yes, it is.
It is.
I'll just say, based on the reports today, I'm going to say both re-sign.
Yeah.
I would have said, absolutely, I'm not going to be a fraud. I would have said, absolutely,
tick, tick,
neither.
Tick, tick, tick.
Neither, I would have said.
That Edelman contract
that
will self-destruct in
right.
2 hours and
it's like
13
it's
minutes
like an
or something.
Of 24.
I actually,
all right, thanks,
I
Adam.
I think it's going to be Edelman stays and Talib goes. But based on the reports
really,
today.
The other way.
Yeah, I might
based
think it
might
on
be
reports
today,
yeah.
I think it's going to be both staying.
I think at some point Edelman's going to just drop, you know, as Rex Ryan said, dropped right, and just say, I am not getting bamboozled by you. I'm going to free agency.
Bamboozled. That's a great word.
Michael writes in, how concerned are you by Dobson electing to have surgery on his foot? He missed significant time last year with a foot injury. Do you think this will set him back in his development as he won't be able to work out with Tom in California?
Sure.
Yes. yes.
Also, yeah. what is the craziest free agency rumor you've heard concerning the Patriots in the last few days? I would say it's the Darren Sproles one for me. I just don't see the need for him with Vereen already on the roster.
Has
and the
been
more
a rumor
pressing
of that?
Needs
I haven't heard
have.
A rumor of it.
More like fans just pondering.
Yeah, I don't count that.
I'm sure Curran has a big word that would have described it. But
Jeff from Regina.
What's that now?
Regina.
Oh, I thought.
Yeah, it's the city that rhymes with fun. Hey, guys. I just read on NFL Network that the Patriots offered Edelman a 3-year contract. Money was not disclosed. What do you think of them offering this contract so close to free agency? And based on the length, do you think that he's more likely to stick around?
It's well, nothing to do with the length. I need the money.
You also made a good point, Fred. We don't know when it was offered.
Right.
The report might have
and
just come out.
And if he leaves, there'll be reports that it was offered 2 weeks ago or last minute,
or
it was never offered. It was sort of offered and pulled off the table.
We just don't know.
Exactly.
Brown's expected to sign Dante Whitner and lose T.J. Ward. According to Pro Football Talk.
And the Raiders are the other team in on Revis, supposedly.
And
Browns, Raiders.
And Browns.
Well,
yeah.
Raiders
like, talk
have
about them
like
earlier.
All the money in
so
the world.
So no one,
right now.
No one has anything about the Eagles or Patriots?
No, but these are teams that
in
are going to trade for him,
yeah.
I believe. No, but they have the money to just swallow the $16
million.
I could
million. See Revis as a Raider, couldn't you?
Not a happy Raider.
No?
Why?
No.
Because they're going to suck. They're the Raiders.
He doesn't care. He just wants the money.
See, I think it's easy to say he doesn't care, but he cares.
I think he cares about both.
He
I think
competes.
The money is more important to him, but I don't think he wants to be on a terrible team. And I've said this a million times.
Why'd he go to Tampa Bay?
They weren't terrible
money.
When he went. They were 7-9, and they were on the come. They had a young coach who went 7-9.
What? We're back to Revere.
Wait a minute. What?
Everett. On the come.
People, it's very easy to sit there and
to
say.
Clean up after those money shots.
Tampa Bay stinks. They weren't supposed to stink
right, they
last
were
year.
Supposed to be
They
better.
Were not supposed to
and
stink.
Particularly their defense was supposed to be really good.
Then they slipped when they were on the come.
Oh, jeez.
It's very simple. They stink because they don't have a franchise quarterback. I know that everybody likes to get all mad and hot and bothered because we say the Patriots are really good because they have Tom Brady. That's life when you have a good team and no quarterback.
Marcus in Miami's been patiently holding on. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, guys. I just want to say I've enjoyed listening to you guys. I have a somber news today. My manager of the Longhorn that I worked at, my district manager, passed away yesterday. All of a sudden, we got called in and they told us about it. And she was really the reason why I'm in Miami in the first place. She was a huge Dolphins fan. I had to put that out there. She hates the Patriots, but she loved the Patriots Dolphins game. So I just wanted to see if I could dedicate my portion of the last couple of minutes of the show to. To her, because she was
this
a.
This has become one of those, like, shout out shows.
Group
one,
therapy.
This one goes out to.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
The last 10 minutes dedicated to Marcus.
Was it, was it a surprise?
Yeah, it was. She was young, man. She was like 50, man. But she,
wow.
she was, She was a strong woman. She taught me a lot of things. She taught me about, you know, just being a leader. And I just wanted to go off, not go off, but just saying as far as football, I mean, Patriots Nation, guys, we're in good hands. You got to think about it. Those 10 division titles that we got, you know what that gets you? It gets you drafted. It gets you, you get to pick in the last half of the draft for 10 years. You know, we're not like the Lions or the Ravens that get to pick in the early part of the draft. They get to pick up Ndamukong Suh and Matt Stafford and, you know, the Calvin Johnson.
Calvin Johnson. Yep.
Yeah, we get to pick in the last Pettigrew. Piece of the draft every year. You know, it's, we work with what we can do. You know, we almost went to the Super Bowl, didn't we? Weren't we picking up people off the street that year? We went the last time we lost the Giants to play in our secondary. I mean, we didn't have the best. We don't have the best defense. I ask you this, guys. If we had the Carolina defense, how many games do you think we win this year? How many games do you think we win a year?
19.
Exactly. Exactly. We'd never lose a game. If you give me the Carolina defense, you give me the 49er defense. You know, I mean, we do what we can do. Yeah, we're cheap at times, but, you know, this is a business.
But you know what? I think even without those extremes, you could still pay a couple of players and have a better defense than you have now and probably have a better chance of winning some of those Super Bowls that you've lost.
And that's why I think we're going to, I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, like, last year we ran the ball fairly well. You know, those fumbling issues got taken care of. I'm all about the defense at this point. I mean, a pass rush, I hear you guys been talking about a pass rush. I mean, let's see if we can get one or two people who can do that. But if we had good corners that could cover, I mean, how many times, I think I've said this before, how many times have we lost the game because Kyle Anton is, you see him at the end of the play when someone scores a touchdown and you're wondering, well, who's that over there? Oh, it's number 24. It's Kyle Anton get blown away. He's not a cover corner. He's one of the best slot corners in the league, but, you know, I think so. I mean, I think he can cover in the slot. It's attention to detail. You know, I wish we can go out here and have free agency really dedicated to, you know, fixing the defense a little bit, resign who we need to resign, draft who we need to draft, and let's go to camp, man.
Stay healthy.
Stay healthy. I mean, how bad were – I think the beginning of last year, I was at the Tampa Bay game where we had Jeff Dimps when he got hurt, and I was looking at myself 2 days, like the regular season was like 2 weeks away. I'm like, man, we were really hurt in that game. Like, I think Bill put all the starters in the fourth quarter of that preseason game, with the third preseason game. And then 2-3 weeks later, Aaron Hernandez gets hurt. Then Gronk gets hurt, and we weren't healthy the whole 2012 year. We still almost go to the Super Bowl. Last year, same thing. You know, we were hurt. I mean, we're always still competitive, even though we're hurt. You know, I look at that. We're a good team. We just need to. It'll be our year soon. That fourth has been eluding us for a very long time, boys.
Yeah.
That number four has been eluding us. I mean, would it be
the elusive?
It's coming. It's on the come, as Paul would say.
A decade of struggles capped by dominance in Arizona.
Did you ever hear that term?
Never heard it before.
I have heard it. Yeah.
What, on the come?
Yeah. Not in that context.
Only from you.
Cusp. That's the word.
Well, I've heard on the cusp.
Yes, I've heard that.
It's a different word. That's not a gambling term.
I would not have batted
an eye. On the come is a gambling term.
Right. Well, sometimes when you take it up front, when you front somebody, it's on the come. Right?
You can't do.
Well, I think you can do it from the back.
I was doing. Yeah. It's to come.
It's just amazing to me that absolutely every word that can be deemed sexual, he has to react like that.
I think we all had that same reaction when we heard it, though.
And he's Mr. Pseudo-intellect.
You don't do it to every single word you've ever heard that
you know,
has
Paul
a sexual
stays in Everett.
Connotation.
Yeah. What's that?
You don't do it to every single word that has a double entendre.
Serious. Paul wanted to talk football.
I took it the way Paul... It originally meant it's a gambling.
Oh, but you know you're
street
into that
corner
kind of
term.
Thing.
Yeah,
it's like me.
Yeah,
with
you have shady days too. Yeah. Knock twice and then pause and kick the door and they'll let you into this party at 3 a.m. with drugs.
Nothing.
I
never said anything about drugs.
There were not drugs there.
No, there were. It was an.
You did have to knock twice at 3 a.m.
It was an after-hour party that you was required a password to get in.
Right. So
and there were no drugs there.
And then you paid
Falcon.
$10 and it was
the little
live band.
All you could snort.
All you could drink for beer.
There was no drugs.
Not that I know of.
I'm just being naive.
I'm sure there were drugs there, but,
right.
You know. Let's see. Doug in South Oregon
writes
in.
Oh, did you hear the Bills getting hammered? You know, it's tough enough to bring free agents to Buffalo. They're getting 18 inches of snow.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right as free agency opens.
And I saw Wally was joking, you know, the airport's going to be open.
Yeah, I know.
The GM.
He's hoping, basically, that the airport's open so that they can woo free agents with 18 inches of snow.
Yeah. Oh, my God. They pulled out of the Toronto game this year.
Yes.
They did?
Yeah.
Why?
They only got like 47,000 last year, and they don't think it's worth it.
Well, they postponed the series. They didn't say they're flat out in.
Yeah,
because they're going to start playing 8 games there at some point.
Yeah. Could be.
Doug in South Oregon, I've been tossing this around in my head as far as what the priority on our defensive backfield should be. With reports that we're close to re-signing Tlaib, whether we do or not, my thoughts are I would almost like to see a big, really good safety over a shutdown corner. Both would be best, but I understand safety comes at a little cheaper price tag than a quality corner. Let our young secondary develop, but bring in an impact safety. What do you think?
As a second move,
they need safety help.
They do need safety help, but I want the corner first.
Yeah,
and I'm not
then
sure they
go
come.
After the There's
safety.
A reason why shutdown corners get paid more than
but they
even
don't
the best
always.
Safeties. Yeah.
Well, it depends. Like, you know, Andy's bringing up
There's a lot of money out there in safeties.
And, like, Jarris Bird is... He wants to be paid like
$9 million a year.
I mean, he wants
now
to be
it's scaring
like
some people off. And but even you know the Weddles of the world make $41 million somewhere in the low 40s.
Would you take a veteran corner and maybe try to make him a safety? You know that natural that natural progression.
I'd be drafting Dione Buchanan because
well maybe in addition to that.
Why does he like him?
I don't know.
You know a lot of
I was surprised he'd heard of him.
There's a lot of corners. Well, I almost fell off the chair, but. A lot of corners, they hit 30 or whatever, and they make a transition.
Yeah, but they usually go to more of a free safety. Again, aren't we looking for a strong safety, a lumber layer, a guy that can come up, can tackle? I would say yes if McCourty were a strong safety. I don't think you convert a lot of, you know, aging corners to lumber layers.
Yeah, that's lumber true.
Layers. Yeah.
Let's see.
What? Look at him getting all
He's laying people. He's getting laid.
Because they don't come on the lay. Let's see, going through the emails here. Dave in Wisconsin, I was having this conversation with a few friends recently, and I posed this question to you. What are Bill's three worst personnel moves since 2005? That includes both draft and free agent decisions. For me, I'd note three, signing Arrington to any money whatsoever.
No.
Two, letting Asante Samuel go. And one, signing Amendola to $28.5 million. On a side note, independent of his performance as a coach, do you think Bill is an above or below average GM?
Above average. Oh,
way
yeah,
above.
Well, above. No, you gave,
sets
him, a
the
C,
bar.
You gave him a C. Plus,
so
he's barely above
general
average.
The manager includes
you
a lot of things
everything.
In this team. He sets the tone for the whole system, not just picking personnel.
Yeah, but you gave him a C plus.
That's the coach's job.
No, we're just bringing in personnel. But
that's the GM's
not,
job.
That's the GM's job.
You gave him a C plus.
But
setting
here,
setting the whole fit. That's the
listen?
Coach.
Why are you looking at me? Because he has the same opinion. Gave the GM a C plus.
The general manager job in this organization requires more than just bringing in personnel.
Okay,
it's
what else?
Not
is
just
it,
the personnel
what else is it,
guy.
Okay, what else
what
does it require?
He lays out the plan for the whole football organization, football ops, everything.
So what does the coach do?
Everything.
What does the coach do then?
What he does as well. He does that as
See,
well.
See, because I think the coach does
Because I think the coach does that. I would give him an A-plus as a coach because I think not only he's a great on-field coach, but he does all the stuff you just talked about.
Yeah.
The whole landscape of Foxborough, to me, he's responsible for along with the crowd.
Because when Bill takes the podium – He takes it as the head coach. He doesn't take it as
the
GM.
He's the CEO of this organization.
He's the CEO.
Yes. And I think that's the coach's
job,
not the
GM. But in a lot of teams, either that CEO job is split between the coach and the GM, or the GM does more of that and the coach is just a coach. But here, and there are some other teams, he is really the CEO. He really is.
I think most coaches are the CEO more than GMs.
I don't.
Chip Kelly's not the CEO, not the GM, but he's the CEO of the Eagles.
Yeah,
he makes every tone. Is whatever.
I think an exception might
but
be Denver.
But does he bring in the personnel?
Denver I guess you could argue that
Elway
sets
I think is
the
more
tone.
Like the CEO in that case.
Or you could argue that the quarterback.
Yeah,
is
I think I think else. Most teams it's the coach, and I think Belichick, the coach, is the one that sort of lays the foundation of this organization.
I agree.
Player acquisition to me is more the traditional GM thing, and. I wouldn't those three moves that he had. Two of them I wouldn't have anywhere near his worst moves. No. You know, Albert Haynesworth might not have cost him any money or anything, but I think that was an abysmal move.
Can I just put those together?
Even the Chad Hainsworth
and just put those together as one move. A terrible
trade
off season.
Yeah.
I mean, how much time
or
that
Razai
season did we spend talking about Chad Ochocinco? This is going to be the week where he comes in and contributes. You know,
he didn't.
So, yeah, we talked about it for longer than we should.
Now. Probably for them, it was no distraction whatsoever. But
no, it was a suction. It sucked the life out of the offense.
You know, I don't know if
he was supposed to have a role and he didn't.
They made the Super Bowl.
Right. They didn't win it. Well, now it's good enough to win. Because of him? I mean, to go. Maybe he makes some plays. Maybe they win.
I just hate when you look at the result. It's like, well, you know, Seattle, they won the Super Bowl.
I think it doesn't make the Percy Harvin move any better.
It was a bad move.
It was a terrible move. Yeah, it was Percy Harvin.
He was Brady. I think you could make a legitimate argument that if he were even half of what we expected him to be, they would have won that Super Bowl.
Right. Well, and the resources. Remember, you traded for him and
Gronk
gave
Kurt,
him
they could have used
six
million?
Used him a lot more than
he
that one pass.
Used somebody.
Right.
Come on, he caught a pass.
Yeah. It was early, too, when we were like, okay, this is it.
It was the first play of the second half.
It only took 19 games, but he's got to do it now.
Brady came over and, never mind.
Had to give him a pep talk.
This is what we got you for.
Had to give him a pep talk.
All right. That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Stick with Patriots.com all day and night because the news will be coming fast and furious, and we will be back on Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.